Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Taryn watches live feeds all day long. Brent's always there to say when he's wrong. They've got the feud that just won't quit. And Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh**. They're the LSD. They don't do it for free. While you're living your life, they're watching TV. They're the LSD. They do it for you. And soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our roundtable podcast for Big Brother Canada 8. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, John Armstrong, and with me today is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
Hey Taryn, how you doing? When I said I was looking for a Twisto's twist to save Min Lee, this is not what I was thinking of. And even then, I don't even know if it's gonna save Min Lee, so. Well, we're in a holding pattern.
We're in a holding pattern. And YouTube is working for us. So that's
yay, I saw that.
Look at the positives in life sometimes.
Maybe. I don't know. Somebody said live, but I think they're watching a Periscope. YouTube didn't start. Yeah. God damn it. God damn it. Ah!
That says it's live for me here.
Maybe it'll start eventually. Like a couple didn't last week, like it started like, like a few minutes after or something.
Maybe
last week Scott had to come in.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Maybe a new link. It sounds like.
Yeah, it says new link.
We're live somewhere on YouTube.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Oh.
Maybe.
Someone needs to figure this thing out. It's very annoying.
We're doing our best here.
Okay, save that link and then go to Twitter and then tweet it. We're just gonna like
also follow
dance.
That link.
Yes, I know, right?
So that I can get to the chat.
Does that have a different chat?
All right,
yes,
it does.
It has a different chat.
Okay.
It does. If the mods can help us out and keep an eye on that other chat and make sure people are sent the right way, that would be great. All right. Sorry, guys.
All right. I don't know. What is up with YouTube lately?
I know. It's been doing this.
I don't know. Maybe it's got a virus. I don't know. All right. So we are here and we're going to be talking with the roundtable stuff. So there we go. Melissa is also with us tonight. How you doing, Melissa?
Not great, Taryn. Not great. Mm-hmm. As everyone can imagine. And as my tweets may be led on.
Yes.
Yes. Just hinted at a little.
Yeah. It's an interesting time to be talking about Big Brother Canada here. It's not great all around. Not great all around. But we are live on YouTube and we can take something from that, you know.
We are live on YouTube, but if you are on the old link, you're going to be in the chat room and you're not going to be able to see us and we're not going to be there. So,
and you're not hearing this right now. So,
yes. Oh, well, that's true. So. Well, you would if you were on Periscope. So
yes. Yes. But we are live here. We will be talking about the week in Big Brother Canada 8. And there's a lot to talk about here. So buckle in. get ready. We've got a bumpy ride ahead of us. An eventful week and some serious topics to cover. So, we got to be ready here. Let's just quickly get us to the current place of where we are. Now, there's obviously some major things to cover, in particular, right off the top, that Jamar has been removed from the game. We will talk about that. And we hope a guest coming on the way. Hopefully Aika will be joining us shortly, to talk about this. We will talk about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to recap the week leading up to that point. And then maybe by the time we get there, it'll time well and Aika will be here, or maybe not, but we're going to try. So,
good plan. I like it.
Yeah. All right. So the last time we spoke, it was Tuesday of last week, and a flip had almost just happened. Michael almost stayed in the game. That a lot of votes had come together, but they never glued together, and the flip died. And after that night, it never really came back together, despite Vanessa occasionally wanting it to. And so Michael went home 9-3. Michael, the first person actually voted out of the house to no audience, which was interesting. We talked about that on Thursday night. Then we had Sheldon win the following HOH, and Sheldon's plan immediately was that he's going to put up Maddie and Ree, with Ree as the target. And we talked about this Thursday night as well. We said, looks like a slow week, guys. What a crazy
famous
week
last that word.
First week, but looking like you got smooth sailing ahead of us here. And you know,
we were so naive.
You know, yeah, we were young.
We were young guys then. You can't blame us.
We didn't know what the future held for us. We've been scarred by the world since then. And so it did not work out that way. But I did say, to give myself a little bit of credit, I did say, I do think there's a chance that Min could be in trouble here. That if she acts up, then I could see Sheldon making a move on Min. And, what did Min do, Brent?
Min has played really horribly. She is trusting the wrong people. She has a good heart, I feel like. She wants to trust people and ride to the end with them and try to engender trust with them by not breaking her word with them. But her instincts have led her astray from the beginning. She is a messy bitch, just like I'm a messy bitch, and she can't help but get involved in stuff that maybe she shouldn't get involved in. And it has led to a lot of consternation among a lot of house guests. For instance, she trusts Vanessa far more than she should. Vanessa is an absolute wild card. In fact, the word wild card in my eyes doesn't even describe Vanessa, because she really has no sense to what she's doing in the game. She really does have no sense. I mean, like at least a wild card to me is self-interested. I don't really even know that Vanessa is self-interested. So, but like I said, Min is far more loyal to Vanessa than she should be. And because of that, it is causing her issues in the game, to the point where now she is in danger of going home.
Yes. Yes. To put it shortly, Min acted up a bit. Yeah. And I mean, right away, she was talking about how, you know, Sheldon and Brooke are two of the biggest floaters in the game, that Jamar was one of the biggest floaters in the game. And she was throwing all three of them under the bus, trying to get them targeted to some amount of target. This was obviously bad for her. These things got back to Sheldon. He wasn't pleased. Then the Vanessa of it all, because I don't think that would have been enough. I don't think that would have been enough to put Min in the hot seat. But when Vanessa got involved, it did become enough, because Vanessa was spilling information from KVBS to Min, Carol, and Chris. So Vanessa told them about Five Out, which is a new fake five-person alliance that came together toward the end of last week and the beginning of this week, that consists of Jamar, Hira, Sue, Sheldon, and Brooke. And so it's a fake alliance that that's really just meant to contain Jamar and Hira, and also Sue, but Sue feels like she's also one of the containers, but she's actually also a containee, if that makes sense.
That's a very apt description.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So KVBS knows about this fake alliance because Sheldon told them, because he's loyal to KVBS. But Vanessa, the V in KVBS, is not loyal to KVBS. And so she exposed this alliance to Min, Carol, and Chris. Then that information found its way out into the house via, I believe, Chris. Also maybe a little bit Carol. I actually think Min was the quietest on this information. But it got blamed on Min when it got back to Sheldon and Brooke, because everything comes back to Min. How could she have known? Who would have made this lie up? Because nobody could have possibly known it. Instead of suspecting Vanessa betrayed them, or maybe even Kyle betrayed them, they're suspecting that somebody must have just guessed this. And who's the only person that would have made something up and spread it around? It must be Min, even though Vanessa's way more likely to have done that, Melissa.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's crazy how everything Vanessa was doing ended up getting put on Min somehow. And I feel like everything that everybody was doing got put on Min. Like, for whatever reason, Min gets the blame for everything. And then she can't really seem to get that blame off of her. Even when she tries, it just ends up in a worse scenario for her. But we can get into that in a bit.
Yeah. So that falls back on Min, and that's very concerning to Sheldon and Brooke and them. So then Vanessa also is going to make something up and tell Min that she was told by Brooke to throw the veto competition because Vanessa and Min were in a pair. So the veto this week, there was a twist where five players were chosen as per usual. Then each of them chose a partner to play the veto with. And so Min chose Vanessa to play with. And then Vanessa told Min, well, don't say anything, but Brooke actually told me to throw this veto. Super sketchy, right? Don't say anything to anyone. It will be really bad for me if you tell people about this. Now, this is basically a straight up lie. Brooke never told Vanessa to throw the veto. The only thing that came close was a whole day before they even picked partners, they were talking about it and talking about the potential to throw the veto in certain circumstances. She was never told to throw the veto. It never came out of Brooke's mouth. But Vanessa was upset about it. And I think she thought it actually happened, because she thought that Brooke owed her an apology. And so I think she was just genuinely venting about Brooke, because she doesn't like Brooke, to Min about this, and was just like, but don't tell anybody. And I think she might have just gotten confused in her head about when it happened.
Vanessa, getting confused? I never.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I literally cannot tell if Vanessa is like an idiot savant or like, I don't know, because it's like, what is the logic behind doing this? And I can't find any. So it makes me think that like either she's just an idiot, or, you know, she's either an idiot savant or she's an idiot. And I don't know which one it is.
I have an idea.
a savant. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So Min. Now, you know, you might be saying, how is this Vanessa's fault? She's just making up a bunch of stuff all over the place. And yes, Min did then make a mistake to then go and tell Hira and Carol. She went and said, hey, Hira and Carol, guess what Vanessa just told me? She told me that Brooke told her to throw the veto, but don't tell anyone. It will be really bad for me if you tell people. And so they just both ran straight up to the HOH and told Sheldon, guess what Min just said to me? Min said that Vanessa said that you said that she should throw the veto.
And this is the beginning of the end for Min for a couple of different reasons. Number one, she doesn't even realize that this lie doesn't even really make sense, because remember, this was a paired veto competition. They had to actually pick players for the veto. And then right after, she told her the thing about supposedly Brooke saying that she wanted Vanessa to throw the competition. that is an amazing circumstance if you consider the fact that apparently Brooke foresaw the fact that Vanessa and Min were going to be in the competition together, and she wanted Vanessa to throw the competition so that Min couldn't then be protected from the veto. That seems really weird. And remember, in this conversation, who was the person who got... Was Vanessa the person who would have won the veto, or was Min the person who would have won the veto?
Min would have had the veto for herself.
Okay, well, yeah. Anyways, never be that as it may. Min would have been safe if she won. But again, that logically that doesn't make sense. But it never dawns on Min that this doesn't logically even make sense. Add to that the fact that she then goes, after being told don't say this to other people, she then takes that information, goes to other people that she's not particularly close to. I mean, she's not close.
Why?
To Akira and I can't even remember his name. She isn't close to them, but she's not close to them. My point being, though, that you don't like give out information that is supposed to be like secret like this in a group of people. Just do it like with one person. That way, if that person, you know, narcs on you, then you can say, oh, hey, they're lying. But if you do it in front of two people, they can vouch for each other to show them that you are in fact the bad apple. So I hated this from Min all the way around, and it only gets worse from here.
Also, Lee, it just doesn't make any sense. Someone gives you information, they say don't tell anyone. Number one, in Big Brother, knowledge is power. So you have this information now in your own mind. Min thinks this is true. Okay, so she knows that Brooke had told Vanessa to throw the veto. That means that Brooke isn't trustworthy, and supposedly Vanessa is. You don't go and tell the secret from the person who's giving you this information. You just keep in your mind, okay, I cannot trust Brooke. Like, just think that in your mind and don't, like, I mean, obviously this information isn't true, but it's like, what if Min is thinking it is true? The logic behind going out and telling other people doesn't make any sense because there is no logic.
Well, to give Min a little bit of credit here, she does believe that she is working with both Carol and Hira. She believes she has a final two with Hira, and she believes she has a final three with Brooke with Carol and Vanessa. But obviously, still.
It's just a situation that it just doesn't make any sense. And I feel like there was too much, there's been too much trust just like automatically given out to everybody, and everyone, if they say one nice thing to you, you're automatically trusting them. It's like, you should know that like things are going on behind the scenes and people are not trustworthy. I mean, there has been evidence that some of these people are not trustworthy, and yet Min is still trusting them, and other people are still trusting each other. Like, people are still trusting Vanessa, but it's becoming more and more clear that Vanessa is not trustworthy. So like, why is that occurring? It just doesn't make sense.
She's a ditto. Just looks trustworthy, I guess.
Crazy.
Yeah. So a lot of these things that Vanessa is leaking out, the heat is falling onto Min, and Min is getting in trouble for it. However, there is a time where Vanessa does get caught here, and that is because after Hira and Carol talk about how, you know, Brooke said to throw the veto to Vanessa, it really starts to get out into the house. JL now knows about it. JL is talking to them about it, and the light bulb clicks in Sheldon's head. Oh my God, did Vanessa told her this? Why? And so he goes and questions Vanessa, who, obviously completely denies anything. He's not like outright interrogating her at this point. He's just kind of testing her about, you know, I heard this. Like, where
she
did this
feels like he's interrogating her, though.
Well, that's a little bit later, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is the pantry conversation.
Oh, okay,
where,
okay.
Yeah. Where he's asking about, like, I heard this, like, can you believe Min is making this up? And she's like, yeah, I don't know where Min might have gotten that from. Yeah, I mean, I hear her listening at doors sometimes, so maybe she overheard it. And he was like, but it didn't happen, right? And she was like, oh, did it not happen? And he's like, no, we never said that.
Right. That was so
right.
Great.
So at that point, Sheldon realizes that she's lying to him, but he's called to the DR. And at the same time, Kyle is lying in bed. He was thinking things over, and the light bulb clicks in his head. Oh, my God, Vanessa screwed us. And so he says he just kind of lays in bed for a half hour, just kind of like calming himself down before he goes and talks to Brooke. And he says to Brooke, Vanessa's snaking us. She told Min that you told her to throw the veto. It was Vanessa. Like, what is she doing here? And so then they grab Sheldon, who just came out of the diary room. They pull him into the HOH and they're like, what's going on? And they go through the whole process that we've been going through for the last week, which is, what is she doing? Sheldon says, what is the scenario here? Is she just stupid? And I didn't know, like, what's happening? And so they are in this weird spot where basically, they have a secret alliance. They have what they're hoping is going to be the pretty boys of the season, except one of their members is not loyal and is spreading information, but they can't just outright cut that person because then they'll just completely blow everything up. I think what they should be thinking is if they're already this disloyal, they probably already have blown things up, which she hasn't entirely, but I mean, I would start from that assumption. I would start from there, but they are like, they're in that mode where like things are terrible and you want them to not be terrible. And so you're like, your bias is toward like the positive, right? It's like, well, and you know what? It's probably just that Min is tricking her, right? It's probably just Min. It's probably not as bad as we think it might be. So let's just focus on the idea that it's Min, that Min has tricked her into revealing some information, but she's still actually loyal to us. So let's go and get her and see what's going on. So they pull her up in the HOH room. Then the interrogation begins. I feel grilled. And they ask her about, what did you tell Min? She denies everything. They see that she's lying. But then the feeds cut for a while, and we didn't really see too much after that. But apparently Sheldon did have a conversation with her one-on-one where she did finally admit, yeah, I might have tricked. I might have been tricked. I might have been minned. I might have said something. Sorry. And that was enough for him to be like, okay, that's all I need. Just please don't screw us. And she's still good with us. So she did get caught. But ultimately, this just makes the heat on Min even hotter, because now they feel like not only is Min running around and spreading things, but she's also the reason why Vanessa is leaking information. And if Min leaves, then Vanessa is no longer a leak. Vanessa is loyal to them because she has nowhere else to go. They're wrong about this. Vanessa is more loyal to Carol and Chris than she is to even Min. And so she has way more people to go to still, even if they get Min out of the house. But Vanessa is very happy to just throw Min under all the buses and let her take the fall for this information being revealed here, Melissa.
Yeah, Vanessa is not, I still stand by my statement that she's going by the anybody but me strategy. And really, I do feel like that's the case. It's like, She liked Min for a while. She wanted to work with Min. Okay, Min's gone. Like, let's get Min out of here. Min's, you know, dead weight to me now. Like, now on to the next person. And then she's just going to keep kicking them off one by one. Doesn't matter who. No loyalty anywhere. Just, like, that's just the way it is. That I still stand by that.
Well, just to be clear, though, like, I thought you said that you thought that there was something, like, secret going on behind Vanessa's mind, that she had a plan in a Stockwatch. Didn't you, like, say that?
I still think that's what I'm saying. I do think she has that. I do think that
she's secretly Sandra. Okay, I totally disavow Melissa on that one.
I do think that there is a plan, which is the plan is just like, I don't care who, anyone can go. I have no loyalties to anybody, not necessarily in a way that's like, I want this person to go first and then this person to go next and stuff like that. I think it's just like, if someone says something like, this person's going to go, she's like, okay, sure. Even if it's like her number one ally. So does that make sense? Is that a good strategy? Maybe not. But, you know, I do think that that's her. I think her situation is that she doesn't care about anybody else. Do you think she cares about anybody else?
I think you're right. She doesn't care about anybody else. But I think that, like, by invoking anybody but me, it kind of insinuates that there's actual strategy behind it instead of just kind of like somebody bumbling around a shop.
Like Mr. Magoo. Things. She's literally Mr. Magoo just stumbling around. Like, she has no plan, no strategy, no understanding of the game, no understanding of what she needs to do. I had it right last week with the paddle. She has no clue what she's doing. So I'm not going to give her credit for her luck. I think it was Quartz in the chat who said her luck stat is maxed out, Vanessa I'm talking about, because she has been so lucky that things have like fallen in such a way that she has not been caught or exposed or in some ways have been more maligned in that house meeting than she was, because Min is a terrible player who cannot get a house meeting done the right way. Not that anybody can get a house meeting done the way that it's supposed to, but Min definitely had to me, bigger opportunities. I knew we're going to get to it, but God damn, man, screwed that up so badly and let Vanessa off the hook. And again, Vanessa gets away with something. But I'm not going to give her credit for playing badly, even though she has not really totally been discovered, although she has been somewhat discovered by Sheldon and Brooke.
Yeah, I mean, it's also this thing where it's like her game is so irrational that it's so hard to see because it's so out there that nobody would ever predict that this is what she's doing because it just makes no sense. Even she knows that it makes no sense. She's arguing with Min yesterday and she says, why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense for me to do that. And it's like, yes. That's exactly correct. How do you recognize this and still do these things? I don't understand you. But you know, that's happening. I think that's a big part of why she hasn't been caught yet. But like one of the major things here is that like some people are saying, well, she's just trying to distance herself from Kyle because Kyle's a big target. But Kyle's a big target because of Vanessa. Like, Vanessa is the one that turned Min on Kyle. Min then blamed Kyle for everything that was happening with the Michael backdoor and started turning other people against Kyle and started calling Kyle the Dane of the season. That's because of Vanessa turning Min against Kyle. She also turned Carol against Kyle. Carol has been a very anti-Kyle person for a while in the house now because of Vanessa turning her against him. And so now she's in a position where she has to distance herself from him in order to not be a target that is associated with him because of the target she placed on his back. And she's not doing that successfully either because, as we'll talk about in the house meeting, she's now firmly linked to Kyle because she has to now pretend that she's actually still with Kyle with the target she planted on his back. And it's just a big mess that doesn't make any sense. So Min is taking the fall for it, basically, because Maddie's going to win the veto. And Sheldon has decided if Maddie is taking herself off the block, then Min is going to go up in her place. I talked about this decision with Anthony Sunday night in some detail, that I still feel like the move was probably to just take out Rianne. But Sheldon decided to go with Min as the back door. And hopefully here we have an additional guest with us. Aika, can you hear me? I don't think we can hear you.
Maybe we can now. I think she connected her audio.
Okay.
Aika, can you hear us, dear? Well,
we'll continue to work
on
it.
Continue, yes. I'll
some tips on how to choose the microphone and stuff.
Yes. Hey, guys, can you guys hear me?
There we go.
There she is.
Hey,
I'm
Aika.
So sorry. You guys can't see me. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
It's really not a big deal, Aika. We just want to be able to hear your voice.
Is what we value you for.
Yes.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. It's been
not
a rough
great.
Day.
I know. It's so disheartening, the whole thing.
Yes. So yeah. We're just about to get there. So basically, Min is the backdoor target. So yesterday, Min decided to call a house meeting. And in the house meeting, things got heated between Jamar and Kyle and Vanessa in particular. And then the feeds cut and they came back today. And Jamar has been removed from the house. They said the reason was that he, the article initially said he had like a finger gun, but then they changed it to he threatened violence on Kyle and that Vanessa felt uncomfortable. So there's a lot to talk about here in regards to Jamar and the circumstances leading up to this moment and what he's been dealing with in the house, basically his whole time there. So I just right off the bat, Aika, like, what was your response when you heard about this?
So when I first heard about this, like before he got removed, I was praying that he wouldn't get removed because I was thinking more of the long-term effects that it could have on his life. And also, you know, the game as well. But for me as a mother, I was like, I do not want this for this 23-year-old kid. It's just damaging. It's very damaging. And when I got the news that this is what had happened, like my heart literally sank and I I have felt sick for the entire day.
Yeah. It's awful. I gotta say, I was on the podcast. I said, I really don't think they're going to remove him from the game for this. That it, like, things similar to this, things worse than this have happened in the house.
Way worse.
Plenty of times.
Well, I'll tell you a story that happened to me on season two and what happened. Mm-hmm. And this is why, so when this came around, I was like, holy shit, I think he might get removed. Because do you remember on season two when Sabrina made allegations against me that I threatened to kill her and her dog? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, so I remember that.
The DR called me in, and this is what, 5-6 years ago. So I'm sure I could talk about this right now.
Yeah, of course.
So Brett is like, of course, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we know about this. We know about this. We've heard about this. Yes.
So the DR called me in and they were like, there are allegations made against you. You are not supposed to do this. And I was like, I never did that. And they were like, we have to review the tapes and then we'll call a meeting and we will discuss what happened. And but these are like severe repercussions, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but I never did that. So they called a meeting, and I think at this point they had shut feeds down. And they were like, after reviewing the tapes for several times, the threats that were made were well within the game, and pretty much said Sabrina lied, that whole thing. But when I was in the house and in that DR, it was a very serious feeling. It wasn't like I would get a slap on my wrist. It was a very, very serious feeling. And I think what really upset me, and I never said this back then, but I was like, this girl went around and she assassinated my character and was not game related. And it came back that it wasn't true. And if it was, I would have gotten expelled. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. Why wasn't she expelled? And so the same thing, you know, like with when this happened with Jamar, for me, it was like, it's really serious, especially if you have people like Kyle and Vanessa saying that they feel unsafe and all of these things, because you have to understand, if Kyle and Vanessa are saying that they feel unsafe, and it's in the legal rules that you cannot make these threats, and then someone is fighting that, oh, these threats were made, blah, 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 blah. I'm pretty sure, like, it's not confirmed, but I'm pretty sure for production, they're like, well, they could probably sue us if we don't remove Jamar, or if, you know, if they leave and they're bitter. Like, who knows? That's what I'm thinking on their part, but no conversations were had. I'm just thinking that way.
Yeah.
So, Aika, when the situation you were talking about with Sabrina, that's so interesting that you bring that up, because your perspective on it is so different than our perspective. I'll just read you a tweet that I actually retweeted like an hour ago, and because I remember this. Sina Nitz on Twitter said, because we were talking about other times that, you know, quote unquote threats have happened in Big Brother and nothing has happened to the house guests. She said in Big Brother Canada 2, Sabrina told the DR that Aika threatened her and she didn't feel safe. They, meaning the DR, laughed her butt out of the DR. Production absolutely did not have to do this to Jamar because of gaslighting from Kyle and Vanessa. But that tweet doesn't really, like, I retweeted that because that was my version of reality in terms of what happened, that they laughed Sabrina out of the DR because they didn't believe her. But from listening to you, that's not how it really happened.
No. So they did, like, so because, like, she was crying and carrying on. So they did lock her out for a bit, but they brought her in. And when she went in, you know, she did tell them that I threatened her. And mind you guys, this was after I had, like, shredded the letters and got the $5,000. I was, like, on my way outside of the house. So I don't get how she felt threatened and, like, where she got me saying I'm going to, like, you know, kill her or her dog or whatever. But she went in there. My comment was, if I were to stay in this house, I will go after you and your little pet, like, meaning, like, her alliance, right? She told them, I said, I would kill her and her dog or whatever. yeah, that's what she said. So, but the vibe when I was in that DR was, it wasn't taken lightly. It wasn't like, oh, you know, this was made. It was very serious. And I felt like, what the hell? So, like, are you kidding me?
So, Michael, what's the difference here? Because I'm trying to figure out, like, is the difference that Kyle and Vanessa gaslighted us and production to say that they felt threatened by Jamar and that's why production did what they did? Because I remember on your next season when you were in Big Brother Canada 5, when Dre was coming for you, you gave that famous eviction speech where you were like, if you come for me, you better not miss. And you definitely gave her the finger guns when you were talking to Dre, which was great TV. But I'm like,
but I still shot at her head. Yes.
Right. Exactly. So I'm like, well, where is the dividing line?
What's the finger gun thing? Yeah.
Where is the dividing line here? Is it just because Kyle and Vanessa complained? And if that's so, that is an immense amount of power for people to have in the game to be able to just to tell you where I am at. Like,
no,
I am just absolutely beside myself that this happened. I was sleeping and I told people this is not what's going to happen. Again, I'm wrong.
Me too.
Whatever.
I thought so too. I was like, there's no way.
There's no way they're going to remove Jamar. Not in 2020. They're not going to do this. They're not going to let Vanessa and Kyle have their way and gaslight us, because that's what happened. But listening to Jamar act just like everybody else, okay? The picture, like, you guys know how feisty I can get and how much fire I can have on a podcast, right? Picture me in the Big Brother house and think of how I would be in a house meeting like that. And I would absolutely let them have it. But now change the color of my skin from white to black and then picture how somebody is going to react. I absolutely do not believe that Vanessa was being truthful when she was like, I'm uncomfortable right now listening to you. It was only because he was a person of color. That was point blank and the period. I do not believe that if it was me standing up there going after her, that she would be like, I feel really uncomfortable right now. And then, of course, you know, that's not even getting into the fact that Angie's like, well, she said she feels uncomfortable right now, which I just wanted to like slap every one of them. Like, come on. Like, who are you fighting for here? Like, Jamar was acting like everybody else always does in the Big Brother house ever. He was just a little upset, but even like Jamar's version of upset was so much less than my version of upset. And he was held to such a different standard than I feel like other people are. And the fact that they are just picking out this one thing to say, well, he made a threat, which it wasn't a threat. It was just something that people say. Like, we all say stuff like I remember like being a little kid and saying, you know, I'm going to kill you. Well, we really don't mean we're going to kill you, but like, that's just stuff you say when you're upset or when you're younger. And so I really don't like this precedent that they've set with this one.
Well, my thinking is,
sorry, go ahead.
I feel like it's a situation where it's like, okay, so then you condone what he said. Well, no, I don't condone what he said. I don't think he should have said that stuff, obviously, but I don't think that's something you get expelled over. I think it's something you get a warning over. And for example, like, I mean, if they were willing to kick Aika out for, you know, quote unquote, threatening Sabrina, and now they've kicked Jamar out for threatening Kyle. I mean, where does that end? Because is it just that they threatened to kill them? And that's the distinction? Because what happened when Dylan threatened Dallas and said he was going to like knock his teeth out or whatever, or knock his mouth out? I don't know what he said, but like, what's the difference there? Is it just like, oh, well, because he said he was going to punch him outside of the house, like, that's fine. But because they said they were going to kill them, or that's different.
It wasn't. Like, it's not even just that, though. Last season, Dane said, if she, meaning Chelsea, tries to backdoor me after I kept Kira, he said, I will fucking lose it. I will beat the fuck out of her. I will be so mad. So please tell me where the dividing line is.
It's not in front of them. It's not in front of Chelsea that it's not a threat. It's like, I don't understand.
Is that it?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying, is like, that seems to be the only distinction. Honestly, to me, it's like, if you're going to have a policy, apply it across the board. Don't apply it selectively, because now it looks really bad. Like, why did nobody else get kicked out for any of these things? It doesn't make sense.
And do you remember during Big Brother 16 when Derek was talking to Zach and he said that, dude, I'm going to choke you out right now.
Like, we all remember that, RJP.
They say that stuff all the time and it's infuriating. I don't like it, obviously, but like, if you're not going to expel everybody else for this, then don't expel Jamar for this.
It is literally a colorful metaphor, in my view. It is a colorful metaphor that is totally within the bounds of the game. It is not a real threat, and its production should know that.
Just to give a little bit of go ahead. Please go ahead, Aika.
It's just one more thing. I just want to make it very clear that Vanessa said she felt uncomfortable before the so-called threat was made to Kyle. I just hate how they're combining it and they're making it seem like he said that and Kyle felt this way. And Vanessa also felt this way in response to that, which it was kind of like out of order. Does that make sense?
You know how on the internet they say that, you know, somebody breathed and then somebody else like, you know, takes offense to it. That's literally what was happening with Jamar. Like Jamar existed.
And they're Vanessa, like, you're breathing too heavy. You're really like, you're hyperventilating.
And Vanessa
you're,
like, was like,
your breath. It's like, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable right now.
It's also like, I just want you guys to also know that, you know, and I'm not trying to blame Sheldon, but Sheldon is another Black man on the show. And when he's constantly painting Jamar as somebody who's aggressive and somebody who's possibly dangerous to Kyle and to the other house guests, what that does is it reinforces to the audience, people who are watching, to production and to the other house guests that, oh my gosh, if another Black man is seeing it, it must be true.
Mm-hmm. It lends so much credibility
to
it.
Right.
It adds so much more weight to it. And that is also very, 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 very damaging because if Sheldon, you know, I remember one scene, a clip on Life Feeds before I stopped watching, I saw Sheldon say to Kyle, if you put Jamar on the block, he's going to swing at you. And Kyle was like, why would he do that? Like, why is he like this? And Sheldon was like, you know, probably where he grew up and the friends he has. And that is character assassination. And that is reinforcing racial, you know, biases and all these things. And it's not right. And because Sheldon is saying it and he is Black, it adds credibility when Sheldon doesn't know anything about Jamar or where he's from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
And in addition to what you're saying too about Vanessa saying that she felt uncomfortable previous to the comments that Jamar is making, we should remind you guys that that they had a discussion about people feeling uncomfortable with Jamar a day before the house meeting even happened. There was a whole blow up between Jamar and Kyle about Kyle saying, you make people feel uncomfortable. And I recommend that people watch this confrontation happen. I don't have the timestamp for it right now, but you can see the hurt in Jamar's face as he's trying to explain, like, I just walk around and people say I'm uncomfortable. Like I'm just being me. And you can see how much it affects him. And so, like, I think that helps put into context where Jamar is at in the house meeting. People are talking about the line that Jamar said, where he mentioned like something along the lines of you won't be laughing with a 45 in your face. I watched this clip a few more times. I believe he is saying this under his breath. I don't think that anybody heard it. And I believe that Vanessa said that she felt uncomfortable without knowledge of that line being spoken. Then she says she feels uncomfortable. Then the line about muscles and getting popped happens after that, in terms of the chronology there. This idea of being uncomfortable with Jamar was there long before the idea of the threats of violence that he made in that house meeting here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're the guest.
I think it's like if I were to just listen to this podcast and hear stuff like 45 in your face and getting popped and all this,
yeah,
I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is, you know, this guy's crazy. But when I watched the clip, it really didn't come off like that. Like I didn't hear the 45 comments. That's my first time hearing it. And I'm not saying he didn't say it. I'm just saying I never heard it.
I didn't either until I went back.
It was hard to hear. Yeah.
I think Kyle said boom. And then Jamar was like, whatever, like how he said it. It came off a little funny, you know, and then you could tell he turned around and quickly tried to redeem the conversation by saying, you know, they accused him of shooting and he was like, I never said I was going to do that. And then he tried to kind of like clear it up and then Big Brother, you know, called him in.
Right.
I think it's also important that we remember that Kyle, his preseason interview is his whole entire brand is that he is this person that got a second chance at life. Okay. He was an addict and people, stood by him and they supported him and they gave him a second chance. And if it wasn't for those people, he wouldn't be where he is right now. And I just feel like someone where, you know, who went through something like that and got a second chance, to not grant that second chance to a 23-year-old kid is mm-hmm. just really, really sad to me, because we all make mistakes and we all say dumb things that we shouldn't say. And, you know, but I feel like this is something that if he goes to get a job, a 23-year-old black kid, get a job, an employer types in Jamar Lee and gun stuff comes up, what job is he going to get? Mm-hmm. That is now what you're setting this 23-year-old kid for. They should have just let him stay there, redeem himself, and try to just, you know, and try to just smooth things over, let it go on. But to have him go there when you know he's not threatening, you know mm-hmm. he's not going to, like, beat Kyle up while he's sleeping. Kyle is not in fear of his life. Sure, he's been in worse places. And to then, like, you know, let him leave with that being his legacy at 23 years old is just very irresponsible to me.
Yeah. And to put this into some, like, historical context, this is the first time that somebody's been ejected from the Big Brother Canada house. So the comparisons are hard in that sense. But there have been four people ejected from Big Brother US. The first person was Justin in season two. He was ejected for holding a knife to Krista's throat and saying, "Would you be mad if I killed you?" That's number one.
Yeah, a little different.
Number two was probably the most comparable situation, but much more dramatic, when Scott in season four had a little bit of a mental breakdown in the house. He was really having trouble with the fact that he had an ex in the house. And there were rumors about, you know, some diseases that he was dealing with. But he was going around the house throwing furniture. They had big chess pieces at the time in the backyard. He was taking them and just being like, I'm gonna throw these, and like he was around people, like he could have hurt people. And they sat him down in the living room and they all said, "You're making us feel unsafe. We don't feel comfortable with this." And he was ejected from the game. And I think that, you know, Aika, to your point, that probably is a big component of production's decision. The fact that there are people in the game saying that they felt uncomfortable and unsafe, whereas in other situations, that's maybe not the case and people are more likely to let it go. And then quickly, the other two times, Willie Hance, of course, headbutting Joe, an obvious case. And then Shima, who threw a microphone into the pool, which is the most controversial boot of, you know, the show, because there was really no violence there, but she was destroying property, and you know, that's a whole thing amongst itself. But obviously these cases are considerably different and distinct from what's happening here with Jamar. We can compare what's happening with Jamar to countless times in Big Brother history where, again, similar things or worse things were said. And what happened is that they brought them into the diary room. They said, "This is not okay. You can't say these things. You need to apologize." And then they apologize and they get a warning and it's all good. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, that didn't seem to be the case this time. I do wonder if, Aika, as you said, if it has to do with the fact that Vanessa and Kyle, perhaps more of them, went into the diary room and said, "No, I don't want him here. I don't feel safe." I wonder if that was a key component of this decision here, Aika.
You know what? I mean, I would think so. I feel like it's because I've been a part of Big Brother Canada for, you know, I've been on the show twice now, and they do try really hard to protect the people that that are on the show. They do. They try hard to make sure that, you know, our images are not as tarnished, that we still have a life outside of this. And I am sure this was a very hard decision for them, which is why it probably took so long. And I'm sure it probably came down to something like that, if I had to guess, because they're not the kind of people who would just toss you out. They're not. So that is what I could speak on from dealing with them, you know, and I never speak on production at all, but from knowing the people that I've worked with and who are still there.
Speaking of that, one of our persons in the chat asks, are there any executive producers of Big Brother Canada who are persons of color? She says, I agree with Aika that there are potential legal issues, but there needs to be a committee to review and overrule the situation. So are there any people of color in production? or the executive producers of Big Brother Canada?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I just like, it was so weird to listen to this situation because I'm listening to Jamar, right? Okay. And Jamar has different life experiences than I have, right? Of course, he's younger mm-hmm. than me, but he just comes from a different part of the world than me. And so he is arguing with Kyle and he says the things that he says to Kyle. And what he said to Kyle about, like, you know, under his breath about the 45 and how you get popped or something, like, I don't come from a world where that has ever happened to me. And so I would never then use that to say to somebody. It troubles me that they didn't use a little, I'm talking about the production staff, a little common sense here and realize that not everybody's experiences are the same. And thus, like, you have to understand that he's not being serious when he says something like that. He's not, like, literally threatening Kyle. It's just a part of his life experience that he would normally say that to somebody who's irritating him, like, dude, you're going to get popped right now, which is not something that I would say. So I wouldn't then be, like, accused of threatening somebody. But that's just because my life experience is different than him. But I don't feel like because he has a life experiences that is different than mine and thus has that in his life, that because he happens to go to that as a comfort, you know, way to shade somebody back, I don't feel like that they should have taken this as seriously as they did, because it's obviously meant as a metaphor. It's not real. They're in the Big Brother house. There are no guns around. Yeah. He's not going to hit anybody. And I just don't understand why they went straight from 0 to 100 on this and gave him the hook from the house when we need people like Jamar on the show. He was fantastic television. I am literally heartbroken that he mm-hmm. is gone right now. Melissa, go ahead. Sorry.
I also think we need to point out the fact that this was that Kyle was not an innocent bystander here. He
Thank you. Yes.
Sitting there silently, and then Jamar just says this stuff randomly, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? He was goading him on. He was doing kissy faces at him. He was saying, okay, what else are you going to do? Okay, and then what? Whenever Jamar would say something. So it was like basically asking him to escalate it and asking him to say things.
And then says, like, I'm uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, whoa, what are you doing? Why'd you say that? You know, you could get kicked out for that. It's like, well, like you're asking for it. You're forcing him to do this. And when somebody's already worked up and upset because he realizes that everybody has betrayed him and everyone's against him, like, this is like, I mean, there have been discussions about, like, oh, you know, getting somebody so worked up that they do something that gets them kicked out of the house. Like, that has been discussed. So it's like, I don't think this is an innocent situation. I see this as like a strategy that Kyle has used, and it's totally uncalled for and totally unfair. And it infuriates me, to be honest, that production fell right into that trap. It makes me, I'm furious.
I know. I felt and I still feel so sick, and I can't believe that this has happened. It's just I'm in such disbelief. And I think it's because you are right, Melissa. Like, Kyle knew exactly what he was doing. Like, he knew this to him was like a game move, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And yes. Him of all people, he's the most aggressive person in that house, but Jamar is the aggressive one. And it's just like, yeah. It is hard. You know, it is hard being a person of color in that house, because when you're there, you're not an individual. You represent people of color. When you're a white person playing the game, mm-hmm. you're an individual. Maddie could get upset and she could yell and scream, and it's, oh, Maddie's having a bad day. She's being emotional mm-hmm. today. And right. Jamar could be this way, and it's all Black people mm-hmm. are this way. And mm-hmm. all Black people. That's an immense amount of pressure to carry. Being a person of color, number one, there, you know, just by that. Kyle is just repulsive, and I don't want to say anything bad about him, but like, he is aggressive mm-hmm. and just very brash, and he's fine. Everyone's okay with Kyle.
Right.
And Jamar, and I get that, you know, not, and I'm not saying Jamar's innocent. Nobody's innocent in that house. I'm just mm-hmm. saying, why does everybody else get a pass mm-hmm. except for Jamar?
Yeah. I agree. I think that it was a combination of a genuine discomfort because of Jamar's race that stemmed from Vanessa and Kyle, combined with them using that to play against him in the game, to say, well, I feel uncomfortable around this guy, even when he's not making threats. And now that he has made a threat, I can make good on the discomfort that I already felt and essentially get him kicked out of the game by complaining to production and not letting it go. Again, we don't know that's exactly how things went behind the scenes. But it's what makes the most sense to me right now.
Yeah.
Which that is so infuriating, Melissa.
Yes.
To
yes.
Like, I can't even imagine being Jamar.
No.
Listen, who like was acting again as upset as every other Big Brother house guest could be in the situation that they were in when they've been had, an ally is going on the block. They don't like the way things are going. The HOH isn't doing what they want them to do. They've gotten played and they are a little PO'd about it. But you can be PO'd about it. Like, it happens in the Big Brother house. And they just they're in a situation where other people are literally dictating their response by taunting them and goading them into making mistakes. Like, I can't even imagine being Jamar and somebody saying to me out of nowhere when I'm acting just like myself, you're making me very uncomfortable right now, because that would then make me more upset. Absolutely blow a fucking gasket if somebody said to me, Brent, you're making me very uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, or saying like, calm down, calm down.
Oh my God. Like, and then there was that clip with Suzanne where Jamar was just talking regular to Suzanne and she was, and I know she was trying to be nice, but she was being ridiculous where she was like, Jamar, calm down. And she's like, stop attacking me. And Jamar's like, I'm not attacking you. She's like, well, you're raising your voice. He's like, I am not raising my voice.
This is being loud.
This it places is the people of color of in a,
yes, yes. It, and this has been building and building and building. And that's the thing is, like, I talk with my hands a lot and I get very animated and very like my voice fluctuates and I talk very loud and whatever. And it literally, like, I can't even imagine being in Jamar's position and having my personality in Jamar, because like I would be told all the time, like, that I'm scaring people. I'm making them uncomfortable, like, for no reason. Whereas, like, if Maddie, let's just imagine a situation where Maddie says the exact things that Jamar said today or yesterday. If she says those exact same things, everything is exactly the same, but it's Maddie saying it. You think she'd be kicked out? Absolutely not. I don't see
absolutely
a
not.
Single situation
100%.
Where she'd be kicked out of the house. No, yeah. They'd laugh at her. They'd be like, okay, oh, Maddie, you're being crazy. Like, look at Maddie. She thinks she's so tough. Like, no way.
There was a tweet that Anthony, who was on the show a couple of nights ago, made that in reference to some of what Jamar is dealing with, where he was like, do you guys remember when I sat on the floor and whispered to Kira? Like, this is why, because Jamar is being told that he's yelling at people, that he's making people feel uncomfortable. And, you know, you feel that, like, you understand that is the situation here, Aika.
No,
for sure. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here.
No, but I mean, when when he tweeted that out, or at least, you know, when he tweeted it out, and in this, like, saying like, do you guys see why I did that now? Like, do you get it? At the time when he was like sitting on the floor and talking to her like that, I was like, okay, he's being so condescending. Like, I really don't like this. Like, what is he doing? I didn't get it. Now I feel like I understand it. Like, I get it, because like, how else if you talk in any other way, it's misconstrued as being, you know, aggressive or, you know, possibly violent or scary. It's crazy. Exactly. I hate it. I don't know what can be done. Like, if this sort of thing keeps happening, and like, if this sort of thing keeps happening on Big Brother, and we're seeing a pattern. I feel like this is not a new thing. I feel like every season we have this round table or whatever, where we're pissed off about some issue or another, usually stemming from race. And I hate that. It's like, I never like to bring that up or say that, because it's always like, well, you know, there's always things that can be interpreted. And like, why am I supposed to say, how am I supposed to say this? That's not my place. But like, I feel like, how else are we supposed to interpret this at this point? Like, I don't know.
No, like, for sure. I was going to say, so we were talking about Maddie, right? Mm-hmm. Remember when she got upset because Michael got backdoored And then she went into the HOH room and she got upset. She yelled at Chris and then she yelled about Ming Li and then she storms out and yells. Now picture that being me. I would never get away with that. They would tell me I'm aggressive. I'm this. I'm making the house this. I'd be like, it would never, ever, ever, like, ever. No one even talks about that anymore. And but there is a difference. And Anthony, you know, I remember when I saw him sit on the floor talking to Kira, I was like, damn, he is petty. But that is true. I was like, but you know what? That is true. That is true. Because instantly it's like when you're Black and you walk in, you're automatically pegged as aggressive. Mm-hmm. And it is real life. When I walk into a room and I see only white faces, I change my demeanor really quickly. I am like, oh, because, you know, it's how I work. I have to make people feel comfortable. It is always my job to make people in the room feel at ease with me and feel comfortable and feel like I'm easy to work with and feel like I'm not going to have an attitude. Because if I don't do that, all the Black people who come after me will be bitches and aggressive mm-hmm. and hard to work with and all of those things. And when I sat with Jamar and he was going into the house, I remember leaving that interview. And I was like, man, I wish he had someone like Anthony there. I wish, because he's so young and he's in the, you know, he's in the zone of just being himself and being that. And he really hasn't learned yet that in order to get through life, you have to make white people feel comfortable. And it's sad, but it's true. Because I do it. And I am mm-hmm. a person who's supposed to be real and who's supposed to, you know, speak however they feel. But that's not life. It's not life. Because white people are in power positions who could get you jobs or fire you. And they could ruin your fucking life. Yeah. So if you're not careful, you won't have anything. If, you know, and I can't ever walk into work and have a bad day. That is not realistic for me. Ever, ever, ever. I don't have that privilege and that luxury. I just don't. Because if I do, I'll always be remembered as that person who, oh, you know, the last time, you know, and it sucks. But I had to learn, you know, on season two, you could see that I have, you know, changed a lot since then. Because I learned really quickly that you cannot be yourself with everybody in life. You pick and choose certain people to be your real self with, and you got to go through life and just, you know, make people feel comfortable to get through life. And it is sad, but it is true for a lot of Black people.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you can hear how much this impacts you, like just in hearing you talk about it, like it's very real. And it's awful. And I think that you're absolutely right. I think that one of the worst outcomes of what we're seeing here is that now when you Google Jamar's name, this is going to pop up. And like, that's devastating for Jamar. Like, and so I don't know, for me, I feel like what we need to do is just continue to support him. Like the hashtag right now, I Stand With Jamar has been trending for a while. I feel like if Jamar can come out, you know, we'll definitely try and get him to talk to him if we can, and just get as many other things out there positive for Jamar, that people support Jamar, so that there are more, you know, outlets for a positive Jamar Google searches.
Yeah, no, like you're
that's,
right. That's
yeah, that's
true.
Like it's what little we can do. There is a GoFundMe out there. I haven't seen it.
I donated to it.
Did you?
Yeah, of course.
I'm usually a little skeptical of these at first, just because like some of these have popped up before, and then like you don't know, like, if you don't know who's running them, it's can be a little sketchy sometimes. But
someone in the chat did say that like there is proof that someone legit is running it, but who knows?
And that's the only reason why I donated.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Better be legit, y'all. Don't pay my money.
Yeah. They're like, thanks. I'll just take this.
Yeah. I want to also thank three of you guys for sitting here and for, you know, being open and listening to me, because you guys are three white people and you are listening and you are a part of the reason why, you know, voices are heard and conversations are had in a very positive way and not a very defensive way. And I was just going to say thank you for like listening and hearing it and not being defensive.
Genuinely, it's the least that we can do. We will always strive to do as much as we can. I honestly don't think that it's worthy of praise, to be honest. I think that it should be just the standard. We're gonna continue to do our best. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us, Aika. You've been amazing as always.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'll keep watching and listening.
Thank you, Aika.
Thank you. Okay. There we
Excellent.
Go.
Yes. By the way, Drew from what was his season, Taryn? Andrew who
season yeah. six. Big Brother Canada 6?
Was it? Yeah, season 6. Oh, yeah. He was the one who had to choose the heaven and hell at the beginning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also asked him to come on. I know he just got done with his basketball thing, so he may come on at some point tonight. I would love to hear from him as well. I think he has a unique perspective on Big Brother Canada and his experience with it. So when he comes on, we may go over some issues that we have already. But I would love to hear his experience mm-hmm. and what he has to say about it. So we can move on from there, though.
All right. So, yeah, so that's where we're at for that. So Jamar is now no longer in the house. We do not know yet if the eviction is still going to happen. They seem to not know for sure in the house, unless something has come up, since we started podcasting. I believe the latest is that it's still unclear whether the eviction is going to go through or not, which means that they probably haven't decided yet, I would imagine, because normally Look, if they knew what they wanted to do, they probably would have just said it outright.
Well,
sometimes they do wait.
Yeah, that's true. I think that this is an obvious call. They have to cancel the eviction for a couple reasons. Number one, it will help you with your numbers. Number two, you do not want to lose your two best good TV people in the same week in Minley yeah. and Jamar. Like, that cannot absolutely happen.
And they're like the lights of the house. I swear to God, like, they are like the best part of the house for me. And yes. it's just like it to lose them both in one week. This
and not
early
just that, like, I recognize that this may be like a touch unfair to Sheldon. But on the other hand, Sheldon wanted Jamar out as soon as next week. Like, he is not happy with Jamar. He has no loyalty to Jamar. He can't handle Jamar. So the fact that Jamar is not out of the house to me is it's like a I'm not willing to give Sheldon a twofer right now. So, things are going well enough for him as it is.
To be fair, I do think that Jamar leaving is still bad for Sheldon, even though Sheldon wanted Jamar out. I feel like Sheldon wanting Jamar out was a mistake to begin with.
I agree.
I don't think it's like if the eviction does go through, I don't think that's a positive for Sheldon. I think it's actually a little bit of a negative.
I just realized, by the way, that she may be listening still, but I wanted to ask Aika because I had retweeted this about her, but then she deleted the tweet. She was the one like when she said the thing about she can't stand Brooke and Sheldon because Brooke is always crying and Sheldon's superpower is the fact that he's always hating on black people. And she left that tweet up for a good day and a half. And then I retweeted it and then she I guess it got a lot of attention. So then she deleted it. But I wanted to ask her about her perspective on Sheldon and Jamar, because I really agree with you, Taryn, that Sheldon is throwing away Jamar's loyalty, because Jamar would have gone to the end of the earth for him. And I know that Sheldon is not good at handling people who are emotional like Jamar or Minley or any of these people that have emotions beyond what Sheldon has, which is pretty much everybody. But my God, like, that is loyalty that you cannot buy. And I thought he was making a terrible mistake by throwing Jamar under the bus as much as he did.
I think the kind of loyalty that Sheldon values is the kind of loyalty where he can influence that person. And that was not Jamar. That he couldn't get through to Jamar. Jamar wanted to go after Kyle. There's nothing that Sheldon could have said to change his mind. And so because of that, I feel like Sheldon devalued that relationship, felt like it didn't have as much value as it did. Because even if you have allies that disagree with you, that can't influence, like, there's still people that can't come at, they're not going to come after you. Like, that's so valuable in the game. And I understand that Sheldon thinks that he has a lot of people that won't come after him, but not in the same way that Jamar was not going to come after him. Not in the same way. Jamar was, the first thing we heard from Jamar when he talked to the cameras, the first time we learned mm-hmm. who is he most loyal to, it was Sheldon. And that didn't change until seemingly yesterday, when he was so frustrated over the fact that Sheldon was not going to backdoor Kyle or Chris, that he said, hey, that's it, I'm solo. And obviously at that point, Sheldon's kind of lost Jamar, but only because of the way that it's been handled over the last week, right? So I agree. I think that that Jamar leaving, I don't think that's a good thing for Sheldon.
I feel like I'm starting to get the feeling that like Sheldon is not as smart as we thought. I just like, honestly, like I just mean in the sense that like I gave him a pass for a lot of the situations or things that happened where it was like, oh, well, he's making this move because like, I guess I could see reasoning behind it. But I just feel like it's like none of these moves are smart. So I feel like I'm not really into the mood to give him a pass anymore. And this whole, like, he had his number one ally in Jamar, even though he didn't want it, apparently. Like, he just was like, nah, that's not the kind of ally I want. It's like, that is the type of person you keep around. It's like, it's reminiscent. And I think someone in the chat just said this, and maybe that's why it's like come to my mind all of a sudden because they like told it to me. But it's like when Frankie cut Zach in season 16, where it was like, Zach was like loyal to Frankie to the end. He was like, I want to be with you to the end. And then Frankie's like, I'm going to slit his throat. Or he like said some crazy comment like that. And it was like, whoa, what is going on here? And then he got Zach out and he targeted him. And it's like, what are you thinking? Like, he is your one ally. Like, I don't get why you would kick somebody out who's this loyal to you. And it's the same thing here with Sheldon and, you know, Jamar. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, maybe it's not the ally you wanted to have, but like, take what you can get. If you have a loyal ally, like, keep it. Especially this early, I don't understand why he was just like, I don't care about Jamar. I want to just like get him. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I've said this before, but like, if you pay attention to the history of my analysis on Big Brother, I am always the hardest on people who turn on their allies, especially when they don't need to. Because even sometimes when you do need to, it's still not the best move, but especially when you don't need to, the Cindy's of the world, the Raul's of the world. We now have Victoria, Vanessa here in this season, who's doing it. And now Sheldon is not actively turning on Jamar, but he is, I don't know the word for it, by leaving it, by not doing anything, by letting Jamar leave, he wanted Jamar gone. He wasn't willing to do it himself. But he was setting things up so that Jamar would leave. It's a bad move. No matter how you look at it, it doesn't matter what Jamar is willing or not willing to do for you as an alliance member. If you lose him as an alliance member, it's all on you. Neglect. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I remember listening to you talk with Jessica, who I was happy to see that you had on from Sequester.
She was great.
She was absolutely fantastic because she was recognizing that this is not a move that you make in week two or week three. This is a move that you make in week seven or week eight. Mm-hmm. Like you want to keep Jamar around for a while, and if you have to do something later on, then you know that's totally within the bounds of the game. But having loyalty like this right now is just like money can't buy it. It really can't. So I don't know what the hell he was thinking here in being as open to the idea of getting rid of Jamar and throwing him under the bus and in my eyes, not supporting him to the other house guests in a way that would make possibly smooth things over with Jamar and the other house guests. I called this initially on our first roundtable when I said, after when Sheldon was listening to, I think it was Brooke, and he was just like, you know, rolling his eyes that she was boohooing to him. And he's not good at handling emotionality. He can't handle stuff like that. He doesn't have a lot of patience, right? He can do it a little bit, but then like once he's done it once, he's like, okay, are we done now? Hug. Can we have a hug? So like the fact that he didn't have the patience to be able to deal with Jamar, like I could see that coming a mile away.
Yes.
Looks like Andrew's in the chat.
Is that Andrew? Okay. Andrew, yeah. I sent you the link to Zoom in your Twitter. So make sure you follow me or go to your other messages on Zoom and on Twitter, I mean, and you can find the Zoom link. You can also go to the App Store on your phone, if you're on your phone, to download the Zoom app. And there you go.
Okay, there you go. Well, let's, in the meantime, let's talk about the state of the House. Because especially now with Jamar gone, there's a lot of things that have been shifting, not only from Sheldon's HOH's initial target to his new target and how the House is shifting in response to that, but now also with Jamar gone, that changes a lot of things, actually, in a lot of ways that we haven't really been able to see the repercussions of because the feeds have been down for so long. And they have come back up today, but they've been very slow today. We have not really seen much of the response to Jamar leaving. I imagine this because it's already happened. Basically, Jamar was like the main target for more than half of the House heading into next week. And with Jamar gone, all of the people that would have targeted Jamar, they're not all still targeting the same person necessarily. And we don't really know entirely who they're going to be targeting now that Jamar is gone. I imagine that Hira is probably the next on the list with Jamar gone, and this is a very bad thing for Hira. I imagine that this could also be bad for Sheldon, as I said. It could be bad for, maybe a little bit Chris, it's hard to know now. It could be a little bit bad for the evictors, for JL, Maddie, and Rianne, who were gonna get at least 1 week of free pass while Jamar and Kyle went at it. And now they don't have as long a period of time getting to sit on the sidelines. And now that Jamar is gone, there's not a pressing threat in the same way that there was before, and they could be in trouble because
that's
of it.
That's a really good call, because I was thinking earlier about the fact, I can't remember who you were on with, but you were talking about the fact that this is such an interesting call, because if they allow the three of them, the evictors, to stay in the House together and make it past this week, that they will become such a huge force in the House. So you really have to be careful of that.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show.
I believe we have Andrew on. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Andrew.
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
Hey.
Welcome.
Thanks for having a brother on this show. I appreciate that. Hopefully you'll have me on when other non-Black House guests have been evicted.
I know, right? Yes. That would be good, yes. Have you ever been on RHAP before?
I have once.
Yeah, he was on with me booted. Once. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. You also know.
You did one podcast recap with me.
I definitely remember that. No, it was a lovely time. I enjoyed that. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yes.
I appreciate the platform to talk to the people, talk to the fans. You guys know what it is.
Yeah. We know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Andrew, what have been your thoughts on the situation here with Jamar being removed from the House?
What can I say that hasn't been said already, guys? Definitely a tragic day for the fans. I feel bad for Jamar. I feel bad for a lot of the other people that are just kind of, just kind of caught in the crosshairs of this announcement. You know what I mean? Like, Jamar, a young man, 24, definitely, not even in the live feeds, he said that he wasn't really, he's surprised that they casted him. Like, he thought that he was too much for them already. And for him to kind of have those emotions and to feel that way shows that they definitely did take a risk in kind of putting someone that honest, that real, that candid in the house. And, you know, he was assimilating himself amazingly, I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't at risk. You know, his girl was about to get booted, or his beef mess, or whatever you want to call it, was about to get the boot. And, you know, he could have, if he could, have sat quietly and just kind of let all the other shrapnel hit everyone else. But, you know, he's a real dude. And sometimes in those house meetings, real emotions take place. So, yeah. You know, for to be able to control himself in that environment is challenging. And I would hate to have someone kind of, you know, poke the bear, or to, you know, try to instigate an argument from him. But at the end of the day, you know, Jamar is a grown man, and definitely he said some things that were, you know, to some people offensive, or, you know, enough to get him removed for the game.
Do you think that he should have been removed from the game based on what you saw, Andrew?
No. Okay. You know, I me and Ryan had talked about this before, so I don't know why he's getting destroyed on Twitter right now, but it's a tough spot to be in. You know, I understand that production has in the past had many conversations with people about their, you know, their conversations, or their strong takes, or aggressive language. But yeah, no, Jamar, I feel, has, you know, definitely said that he was going to pop him. But at the same time, like, you know, people have said they're going to put hands on them. They're mm-hmm. going to break people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're going to pop off. So if you're going to say pop and pop off, to me, technically, it's the same thing, but I guess depending on who says it and in what context mm-hmm. they say things, definitely right. takes a really different.
Andrew, I'm just curious, were you able to listen to the part of the podcast that we had earlier with Aika, or did you just not come in like about right
the
now?
The streets have told me what Aika was saying. Okay. They told me that Aika was definitely visibly upset. They yeah. told me that she, you know, had a very motherly, strong reaction. And I get that, you know, I texted Aika immediately. You know, I mean, I could talk. So I shot her a text when we first got word of it, and I was like, this is fucked. You know, it's super, mm-hmm. I don't know if I could swear, but.
Oh,
you,
yeah, go ahead. That's yeah. fine. Come on.
Just motherfucking bullshit. No. No, it's just unfortunate. And I, you know, I didn't want to, you know, be too quick to react. And I took a moment or two to compose my thoughts and not just kind of blurt out tweets that are a bit more, you know, off the cuff. But, you know, the house is very rough, man. And, you know, Aika and I have been through that, and we've understand what it's like to be the one black person, or the minority in the house, to kind of have to deal with that sort of scrutiny and the stereotypes that come with it. You know, Aika's been labeled the angry black woman. You know, I was the aggressive, too hard, too soon black guy. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And to see Jamar kind of, you know, play this game to a point where he wasn't even in the conversation, I was like, oh, man. This is amazing. He's going to be able to be his true, authentic self, you know, and not have to kind of edit himself and still be accepted and get the love that he's gotten. But, you know, quickly, those ties have changed and put him, you know, at you know, it's just, right. it's just tragic. It's just sad.
The thing that struck me the most honest about what Aika said, that I knew in the back of my head, but I'd never really considered when I was thinking about the situation, was that Aika said that when you're a person of color and you're playing a reality game show like Big Brother, you are representing your people, your race. When you're in the house, you feel like you're every black person when you're in the house, and you have to represent. Whereas when you're a white person in the house, like myself or Maddie or JL or any random white person that's in the house, you're the individual. You're just yourself, mm-hmm. and you don't feel like pressure. Like you just feel like, I just want to do the best I can be for myself. So I wanted to know if you really identified with that, because I felt like that was the rawest thing that she said, and really almost brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, no, I discussed that as well. And it's like, when you're that one black person on the reality TV show for the season, not only are you playing for your, you know, I tried to play a game that was reflective of my family, but quickly I realized, oh, I'm, you know, it's me. So I have to essentially take on the extra burden of being that one representative for the community. Mm-hmm. And when Marin actually got into the game during my season, I was so happy to see Marin. And then Derek came up to me and was like, oh, you must be so happy. I'm like, damn, like, is that something that white people never have to think about, never have to worry about, because they're always in the majority. And when there's only two of us in the game, and I even shot a few text messages to Dre to begin before even the season started. And I said, I hate for the day to come where these two young brothers have to go at each other. And when Jamar and Sheldon had that fake alliance or whatever, where, you know, Jamar and Sheldon had that conversation where they go, you know what? I'm not going to target you. Let's do first ever final two. Like, Jamar, I believe he meant that.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I believe he meant that, and he was sincere and honest with that. And to now see, you know, the stance that Sheldon has taken, which is very anti-Jamar, which is very much, let me save my game first and bury this brother. That's mm-hmm. It's just rough, man. Like, and amongst the black people, I think there's an unwritten rule where it's like, hey, I'm not going to come for you. You're not going to come for me. We're good. You don't have to worry about building a relationship with me. And that's why I said to Mayor, like, bro, you don't have to worry about me. We're good. You know what I mean? Go mingle with everyone else. And then let me know what's going on. Because we don't have to check in because we're already checked in. But everyone plays this game differently. Everyone plays this game and compromises themselves either, you know, culturally or for their community or just for themselves. So kudos to those that can do that. I can't play that way. You know what I mean? And I look back at my experience on the house and I was like, you know what? I played the game that I felt was authentic to myself. Some might say whatever, but at the end of the day, like, I'd rather leave the game knowing that I played a game that was authentic to myself and, you know, get love for people that, you know, hey, that guy was a real person. And I think Jamar is definitely coming out of the house full of fanfare, full of authentic fans and people that can't wait to see what he's doing yet next. So hopefully that harsh exit that he did take is, you know, edited the right way. You know, the live feeds know what transpired and what went on. So I'm just curious to see how production plans on going forward and covering up or, you know, not covering up what actually happened.
Yeah.
Did I miss the conversation about what's been going on with Kyle? What are white people saying about Kyle? What's going on?
Melissa, take it.
Oh, well, Kyle goaded him on. I mean, everyone's saying that Kyle was like, he was wanting Jamar to do something. He was wanting Jamar to react. He was doing kissy faces at him and, you know, asking him, well, what else are you going to do? Oh, and then what? Well, what are you going to do? Like, he wanted a reaction from Jamar. Yeah. He wanted that to happen. He wasn't some innocent bystander. And I'm pretty sure everybody online, like, hates Kyle. So you don't have to worry about that one. Yeah. I want to say that, like, I agree with you. I am curious to see how the show decides to handle this because, I mean, if they just show it exactly as it happened and then say, yeah, and we kicked Jamar out because of that, it's not going to make any sense to the viewer. It's going to be like, well, but why though? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, they're going to have like the other house guests.
Make Kyle and Vanessa the victims. They're going to have them teary eyed in the DR. Like,
they're
going to
have Sheldon. No, Melissa, yeah. They're going to have Sheldon in the DR. They're going to have in the DR explaining to people why Jamar got kicked out, which is like gaslighting Canada in the great majority of North America. So I already know what's coming.
I'm already ready to hate the episode. Like, I'm already ready to be furious. So
it's a tough one, guys. Like, you know, like, people will, and you guys obviously know Big Brother, but like, people will say some shit to get a reaction from you. And sometimes the hardest thing you can do is not give them a reaction. And as a black man, sometimes my reactions are always positive. And the second I show emotion, people are going to be like, oh, he's playing aggressively. No, I'm playing passionately. This is the game that I've always wanted to be on. And I'm passionate to be here. So let me be able to you know, play the game that I want to play without people calling me calling me aggressive or calling me toxic.
If you were white, Andrew, honestly, like, people just think about this. Honestly, if you were white, people would have just called you a little crazy. Like, oh my God, that guy's crazy. But because you're black, they say you're aggressive. That is the difference. And if you can't see that, you're absolutely blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, microaggressions is a word that, you know, I knew a little about before my season. But then after I came out and I really saw what was being said about me, or who was saying things, or what conclusions that they leaped to kind of paint me a certain way. And production just kind of went with it. It was like, oh, okay, well, you know, he's this guy. Let's just paint him as this guy and then keep it moving. Listen, it's a tough spot to be in either way. Like, we know we signed up to be a part of this game. And at the end of the day, production can control whatever edit they want. And we just have to be okay with it. But it's the people, the real fans, the feeders that get to see, you know, these authentic moments and, you know, form their own opinion based on that.
Yeah, I mean, and this is not something that is unique to, you know, recent times. This has been an issue since the show started and obviously far before. But like, right from the beginning, Monica talked about in season 2. This is something Jamaica talked about in season 8, especially this idea of being a representative of her race on that season. And it's something that continues to happen over and over. And, you know, you would like to think that at this point, there'd be a better method of handling it than the idea of just, you know, kicking Jamar out of the house because people said they felt uncomfortable.
And even last season with Kemi and David, they even said, like, we need to not react. We need to stay calm. And even if we're upset, because you know how it's going to be interpreted. And they all said that. Like, it's crazy how that is just a thing that is constant in people of color's lives. And it's the fact that Big Brother is seemingly rewarding the people who are perpetuating that is making me upset. Like, it's really, I don't even know. It's very, very frustrating.
It's an uphill battle for any minority in the game from the jump. You know what I mean? I think historically, not many people have had that many interactions with Black people. You know, I know on my season, the allies that I had were few and far between. Like Hamza was really, you know, down for me from the beginning, but everyone else either had reservations or questions or didn't believe anything that I tried to say. Even my closest ally in the game, Ryan, you know, put me on the block. Now, I would never put him on the block, but the fact that he felt so comfortable doing so shows that, hey, he didn't want to kind of jeopardize his game in order to kind of show allegiance to someone that, you know, was viewed by the house untrustworthy for whatever reason. Now, I'm not saying people are, you know, racist or whatever in my season. All I'm simply saying is that there's a reason why certain people click up or feel comfortable or connect with people so early and often. And when I saw that actually the cast for this season, I was like, oh, I was optimistic that, hey, this is great. Here is a brown guy from Brampton. Okay, the link with the Toronto man. Yes, okay, there's another Black guy with Jamar Sheldon. Oh, great, they'll be perfect. You know what I mean? Chris is from Markham. I'm sure Chris has many opportunities to interact with people of color and show diversity. But then I guess some people feel comfortable just, you know, being with their own people. And even Angie, like, you know what I mean? A couple conversations I've seen where, you know, it's harder to speak out about injustices on your own people and rather just, you know, not stir the pot or cause confusion. They kind of sacrifice, you know, what would be right to do in order to stay in the game. So it's like you're almost pandering to the people of power in order to just, you know, play a small role when essentially you're expendable to them because you're never going to fit in.
And that's the tough part. I don't even know if I feel comfortable judging that because I have been really irritated with both Sheldon and Angie. Like, I tweeted that Angie was basically talking like a Republican yesterday. It was really pissing me off. But I'm like, are they making the best game decisions for them? Like, I don't know. I think there's a world where maybe the choices that they're making are not choices that I agree with or choices that I even like from a fan perspective or from a moral perspective. But maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe they're just going for the W and that's all they care about. So I don't know.
Big Brother is one of those things where it's like, well, hey, if it's not me, I'm cool with it, which is essentially the worst shit you could do ever. Because like, if you have any bit of a backbone, you'd be like, you know what? I'm not cool with that. I'd rather not do that. And then if you do speak up with it, you're now a target because of that. So the strong personalities or the larger personalities or the people that just don't fit in are usually the, you know, the people that have the hardest time adapting and having allies within the game.
Yeah, I had just been talking about how taking out your own allies is the worst move, and I did forget to name Ryan, so thanks for reminding me that Ryan should also be shamed for that move.
Tell everyone that every week that Ryan definitely, you know, cut his own arm off there putting up an ally. But hey, you know, he thought he was cool with Olivia and, you know, Kayla and everyone else.
Trust the process.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, truly, truly a name that deserves to be up there with Raul and Cindy. Yeah. Ryan. Sorry, they're this whole situation is unfortunate and it just continues to be an issue. Is there anything like, can this be a learning experience for people? I mean, hopefully people are learning from this podcast. I know some people I've seen saying like, why are we still talking about this? Haven't we already talked about this to death? But I think the fact that we're talking about it is proof enough that we need to still be talking about this, right? Like,
The fact that it's still an issue,
right? Like, it's still happening and people still need to learn these things. And this is still an issue that needs to be dealt with.
And we're all fans of the show too. And like, no tea, but Jamar was a huge fan favorite. He absolutely is and was.
Totally.
And so the fact that we got the rug pulled out from under us, I mean, like I said to you guys earlier, when the feeds went down, yesterday after the House meeting, somebody was saying, oh, like, are they going to close Big Brother because of the coronavirus? I'm like, no. This is what Big Brother normally does. Whenever there's something controversial happen, they take the feeds down. I don't love it, but that's just what they do in Big Brother Canada, because feeds are free and they go about their business and then they bring the feeds back up. And I was like, there's no way in 2020 they're going to kick out Jamar, who is ostensibly a fan favorite. And
huge.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I could not have been more wrong and was absolutely blown away when it happened. So, I just feel like I needed to rant a little bit and grieve. And I know that our rants sometimes can help other people with their, you know, thought process and coming to a sense of closure on the show and whether you can want to continue watching it or not. I know there's people who've tweeted me who are longtime fans who are like, literally, I'm fucking done with Big Brother Canada after this. And I can't imagine they're going to be happy with the episode that's coming on Thursday. So who knows? Again, also, by the way, the fact that episode is coming on Thursday leads me even more to believe that Minley is eventually going to be safe and they're going to cancel the eviction, because I can't imagine they're going to want to handle two evictions / ejections in one night.
But is it? I thought I read Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday's the veto meeting, and the veto meeting already happened. So, like, unless they have the veto meeting early on Wednesday and then they want to have the House meeting later on Wednesday, they're going to have to deal with it on Thursday. Because the veto meeting always takes place at the end of the episode on Wednesday.
You're right. It says Lee's exit will be addressed Thursday's episode. I swear it said Wednesday. Maybe they changed it. Oh, they did change it. They said the article changed it to Thursday.
Okay, cool.
You're
not crazy. Just like they changed the article about Jamar when they accused him of what he did. They first said something else and then they changed it to, oh, he threatened a house guest. Then they changed it to he threatened Kyle. And now they're changing it finally to that he broke rules. Which,
I'm looking at all
the litany of Big Brother Canada house guests that have broke these same rules, and yet those people weren't ejected from the house. So explain that to me.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, Twitter is great for receipts. So there's definitely a plethora of receipts of people have done far worse things, said far more disgusting things than Jamar. So I don't know what the thought process would, you know, and they know how loved Jamar is. So why would they shoot themselves in the foot? And I will say this. I've been to a few different events with Big Brother, and I even met a few people who work, you know, also being on the show. I know people behind the scenes as well.
Right.
But I know that Twitter and social media conversation is a huge point for them. So maybe they knew that by creating this wave on social media would just continue to kind of, you know, keep that fire burning and maybe, you know, expand the reach of the game. And if people weren't tuning in before, maybe they'll tune in on Thursday to see, you know, what that Jamar effect really is about. And Jamar hasn't done any media either, too, right?
He's not yet.
I'm curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, the Nico situation was already a bit of a black eye. So we'll see how they put the spin on this and clean it up. But I don't know how, man. I don't know.
It's honestly baffling to me that, you know, the entire time the feeds were down, you know, all of Twitter, all of anywhere I looked, and granted, I'm not like on Facebook and that's usually where the most casual people are, but like, but everywhere I looked, it was support for Jamar. It felt like that was where the fan base was. And so it seems so strange to me that they would make this call. And again, I guess we haven't really seen the Big Brother Canada production pushed to this place before, whereas we might have seen it with US and they might have been more lenient in the US. But it just strikes me as such a terrible decision. And it's hard to understand why they made it.
Unless on Thursday they show footage and it's never before seen footage and we see Jamar like literally punch Kyle in the face or, you know, whatever, like maybe then. But if it's only just what happened at that meeting and it's only the stuff that we saw and there's nothing further than that, then that's definitely not sufficient to kick him out of the game. I think this was a horrible decision. And I'll stand by that. I think that Big Brother Canada that just totally overreacted, totally uncalled for. And I think that, and I've said this before, if they are going to have a policy that's don't threaten people, don't do whatever, then enforce it across the board equally, because they do not do that. And so if that's the case, and if in every situation someone threatens someone else, they get kicked out, that's fine. But that's not the case. And we've seen in the past, people threaten other people. I've said it before, Dylan threatening Dallas on Big Brother Canada 5. That was a threat. And was anything done? No, of course
and
not.
And a real so, one. Like, yeah, it was a real one threat. To his face. Like,
yeah,
sure. Yeah, it wasn't just, yeah. You know, obviously people say stuff behind their back, like, you know, whatever. Like, also, oh, I'm going to rip their throat, whatever.
Yeah, I also
but,
don't
like in front of someone else, that was in front of him.
I also don't like the fact that they're leaving it up to the house guests to dictate the terms of what's going on. The fact that Dylan and Dallas were, you know, getting into it and Dallas didn't complain. Like, he didn't go to the DR and complain and say, oh, so I feel threatened. Right. But the fact that
that's a bad precedent.
Right. The fact that Kyle and Vanessa then did complain and say they felt threatened, which they already were feeling threatened just because Jamar is Jamar. But they then used what he said to like qualify the fact that they felt threatened. Then now Big Brother's going to accept that. That is absolute insanity. You guys are. Yeah.
And Jamar, also, Jamar, like, yes. Well, I just want to say really quickly that something that wasn't said is that right after Jamar said it and they were like, Jamar, you know you can get kicked out for saying something like that. He immediately was like, I'm not violent. I'm not going to hurt anybody. Big Brother, just so you know, like, I'm not going to hurt anybody. He specifically said that. So if there's any indication that it's like, oh, well, they felt threatened. They felt like they were going to get hurt by he. They thought he was going to hurt them. He clearly says right there, like, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to do anything. And even Vanessa said, I don't think he's going to actually physically hurt me. She said that in the conversation. She's like, I just feel uncomfortable, though.
Yeah, that's you know, listen, that's it exactly. Like, Jamar definitely backpedaled the second, you know, there was a serious tone. He's like, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. for them to still kind of, you know, drop the hammer as heavy as they did, I don't know why they would do that. They definitely could have had a conversation. There wasn't a Canada is watching. There isn't like, hey, Jamar, stop that. It was just like, hey, you know what? You said it. Let's keep it moving.
Right. I will say that our friend Karen Singbell from Big Brother Canada 3 tweeted out. She said that she's so PO'd. If you go on Big Brother, meaning you get cast on the show, and you cannot take being yelled at, cussed at, take criticism, have your own opinion, or have air guns shot in the air in your presence, then stay off the effing show. So infuriating. Love you, Jamar. Which, of course, yeah. You know, I totally agree with Karen.
Mm-hmm. Karen's wonderful. I haven't met her yet, but yeah, I know Karen's. It's all positive vibes from Karen, but she's mm-hmm. not, you know, tearing someone a new asshole.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
I just want to say one thing too. Like, Jamar is you know, language is very delicate, and some people might not be used to the type of slang or the terminology or the That's things that it. Jamar Thank says. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
I'm from Scarborough. Jamar's in Ajax, like literally like 20 minutes away. You know, I'm not threatened by anything Jamar says. I'm used to people speaking that way. I'm used to people having that sort of connotation, that cadence, that energy. Some people, whoa. And I get that too. Like, when I was in the house, a lot of people didn't, I had to, like, you know, Urban Dictionary a lot of things for a lot of people who just weren't familiar with the dialogue and the slang that I was using. And I think that, you know, a lot of people from the GTA know that. And I was hoping that they would be the same ones that Jamar would connect with, and that, you know, they'd be, you know, compassionate and understanding. So I'm disappointed in Sheldon. I'm disappointed in Suzanne or Suzanne.
Either way,
In terms of, you know, just like, you know, just vouch for the man. Like, he's not going to hurt nobody. He's 140 pounds. He's 23. He's a young brother from Ajax. Realistically, if I had played that game at that young, and, you know, some of the issues that I had, like with Eric and that staring contest, I probably wouldn't have just stared at her. But even something as simple as staring at somebody evokes such a huge negative connotation or a negative energy. That's like, oh, this guy's toxic. He's aggressive. I didn't mm-hmm. say a word to her. I just looked at her. Like, you know what I mean? And for Jamar to say that, you know, yeah, some people might be offended, but like, there was no malice, no harm about it. But like I said,
I'm so glad you brought that up. I was trying to make that point earlier before you came on about the fact that, you know, people grow up with different experiences, and Jamar has different life experiences. He's going to use different metaphors and different lexicons than other people. And you have to take that into account when you're evaluating him. Like, I would never say something about, you know, like a pop you or a 45 in my face, because I've never been around something like that. My friends don't talk like that.
Yeah. I can't imagine you saying that.
Doesn't mean that my experiences are any more valid than his. Just that frustrating. Frustrates me so much.
Simply put, Jamar is a product of his environment. Obviously, he grew up in not the most privileged environment. He grew up around poverty. He grew up in a single parent home. So the fact that he kind of relates or speaks to a certain group or demographic differently, it might not resonate with some people, but me, I get the madness. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in my opinion, when Kyle and Vanessa go into the diary room and they say, I feel unsafe, I feel uncomfortable, that the people there should be somebody there to explain this to Kyle and Vanessa that like explain exactly what we're saying right now, mm-hmm. so that they can understand that like this is a difference in culture. This is a difference in where you were brought up and the kind of language that's being used. And, you know, when you say that you could snap him, whatever he said, they did find that clip.
Snap him in the 50 million pieces. That's what right. Kyle said about Jamar.
That's the language you use. And this is the language that Jamar uses. And, yes. And you know, you just because you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean that he is being like serious about he's like he's gonna shoot you. That it's just a difference of culture here, and they need to understand that and be made comfortable with that in the house. It shouldn't be going the other way around, where it's being turned back on Jamar, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Is it true that Ika said that there's no people of color working behind the scenes in production?
She said about, yeah, it sounded like producers and like executive producers is what it sounded like.
Okay. I agree. Yeah. diversity is definitely something that I know that I've spoke to a few people behind the scenes, and I know that's something that they wanted to show more of and have more people represented of that. Maybe have more people that have been, and that live, that come from Jamaica instead of just travel there. You know what I mean? Or people that, I don't know. There's some, like I said, but it's some people, are, you know, I shouldn't name names, but regardless, it's a tough situation either way. Just having someone that fully understands the language, understands the background and, you know, hopefully, I don't know. Bad move, guys. I'm hurt just like everyone else right now. Like it's like someone that, you know, was literally feeds gold. That I would, you know, literally go follow him around and say, "Where's Jamar at?" I need to be where Jamar is. I've always wanted to watch his feeds
and Minley's feeds. Like it was the two of them, and now what am I going to want to watch now? Like, and you know, to her credit, and also to Maddie's credit, to Minley's credit, and Maddie's credit, they both defended Jamar during this conversation and saying like he's just venting, he's just upset, like he just was betrayed, like he's just, you know, whatever. Yeah. Maddie and Minlee, they both did that, and I have to give them credit for that because everyone else was making a whole big deal about it when it really wasn't anything.
I do want to say about Minlee that she has been one of the worst though overall in terms of her treatment of Jamar and the kind of things that she said about him, and she's talked about how she felt that that Carol was justified in making comments about the police being all over Jamar, and that Angie was just being a social justice warrior, and that Jamar, you know, looks like a thug and therefore, you know, invites these comments. Minlee is definitely not innocent
during that confrontation,
right. Guys, it's a very different experience, you know, understanding the black experience versus dating or fucking someone for black penis, you know what I mean? Hate to be vulgar like that, but it's one thing to understand the struggles of a black man, it's another thing to just yearn after one. So you know, no disrespect to Minlee, you know, shout out to her friend Estelle who's been in my DMs, you know, showcasing and telling her me all about her and her past situation and so forth. But like, it's a very different game to like, you know, and I will say this, a lot of people who people stan or like enjoy really have no idea about anything or have real life experiences. So let's not look to Minlee as, you know, the social justice warrior or anyone in this game to stand up or to speak power, you know, into, These people are just young people that were cast because they either look good or they have a bit of energy that's great for television. You know what I mean? Like, let's not look at these people as, you know, spokespersons or ambassadors for inequality and race relations. But yeah, man, it's a tough game to play. Super hard if you're black. Hopefully that, you know, now that Jamar is outside of the game, he'll have some great commentary and be able to speak about some of the relationships. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to block him from talking to people, or, you know, that media, you know, hiatus or whatever.
Yeah, they kind of did that to Nico a little bit. Like, I haven't heard anything from Nico, so, but I have to imagine they're going to let Jamar talk. He's such a fan favorite. How can they not? Yeah. Let him talk,
I will be asking if I can talk with Jamar. I think that I definitely want to talk to Jamar.
I hit him up on the DMs. He's in good spirits, guys. You know, I think, when you get out the house, like, and you really feel that love of the people for that first time, there's nothing like it. So I know he's just like probably battery on 10%, plugged into the wall, just everything on his phone. But we'll definitely connect sooner or later, man.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up here?
Follow me on YouTube, guys. Those Miller Boys on YouTube. Continue to champion diversity, the champion allies, and I appreciate all of you guys. Brett, I don't know why I didn't like you, but I love you. That's amazing, bro.
That's totally fine. I know
why you didn't
Brett's like
you.
I get that a lot.
I get that a lot. It's totally fine.
Sometimes I see stuff on this Twitterverse and then I'm like Jamar a little bit.
I didn't agree with the winner of your season. I thought that the runner-up should have won your season. So a lot of people, your winner has blocked me, which is totally her right to do.
She's blocked more than a few.
I know that, which I'm not offended by. Anybody can block me. Karen tells people.
Yeah, Brent is a monster on Twitter. On the podcast,
Karen keeps him under control.
Yeah, we try to keep him on a leash as much as possible on the podcast.
I'm just a guy that's trying to look out for the house guest of a show that I was on once. So I try to, at least be a big brother to everyone that's played the game. I tried to talk too much shit until I meet these people and then realize that some of them are actually shitty people. But for the most part, I'll wait until I meet everyone. But thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the platform.
Excellent. Also, you can follow Andrew on Twitter at Big Brother Drew. That's BigBrotha Drew, Big Brother Drew, and it's Andrew Miller if you want to look him up. So thank you again, Andrew, for coming on, and we really appreciate your insight.
Thanks, guys. Much love. Keep doing the good job that you guys are doing, and I appreciate the platform.
You got awesome. It.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Peace and love.
Excellent.
All right.
Karen, I am so, we're so blessed to have the input that we got tonight from both Mika and Drew. I didn't know if we were going to be able to get either one of them on. I'm really glad that it all worked out.
Yes, and this is definitely looking to be a monster of a podcast. So, like I said, I hope your seatbelt is buckled because
I know
still
my back
got a long
is already
way to go.
Hurting.
So we were in the state of the house. That's where we were, right? Yes.
Yes.
So
let's.
We quickly, don't really know the state of the house. Yeah.
Right. Let's quickly kind of talk about the state of the house. We'll get into the stock watch, which sometimes overlaps anyway. So KVBS. Seemingly tighter than they were even before. I do think that Vanessa is now slightly more loyal to them than she had been in the past. She's now a little more visibly attached to them in the house meeting. It was revealed that Kyle said, I tell her she can say whatever she wants about me. And she essentially admitted, yeah, I was lying about being against Kyle. That definitely puts a sort of damper on her maneuverability in the house when it comes to aligning with people who are against Kyle. And so she's essentially, like I said, she put this target on Kyle herself. And then outed herself as near Kyle and now can't move with her allies as well because she did it to herself. We also have 6 feet under they're still hanging on by a thread here. That like Sue is still like just firmly like we're running the game, guys.
Yeah, 6 feet under. 6 feet under till the end. Yay,
And then Carol's the opposite, where she's completely done with the alliance, but everybody in the alliance is like, we definitely have Carol because she's in 6 feet under. Meanwhile, she's like, what? What alliance? What 6 feet under? I don't understand. That's the
right. I couldn't even remember that Carol was in 6 feet under.
Oh, there you go. And then we have this sort of side alliance thing that Vanessa has created with Vanessa and Carol created Vanessa, Carol, Chris, and Angie, which I don't think I've ever seen them actually together as a group.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have even put this down because it seems so like non-existent. But just today on the feeds, we got a little bit from Angie talking to the cameras, and she mentioned this group as like, I'm in good with these people. And weirdly, this was hard to hear. And it happened today, so I'm pretty sure this is correct. I'll definitely confirm tomorrow morning, but I'm pretty sure what she said was this. She was listing off groups of people that she was working with, and she was like, so the only people I'm not good with, Sheldon and Kyle, they gotta go. And Min too.
Oh, wow. That is so bizarre.
That's where Angie's head is at, guys.
Wow. Yeah. Like, I have to believe some of that is delusion. Like, I don't know anybody that's necessarily coming for Angie, but the fact that she thinks she's working with all of these people, I mean, I guess that's because they're not coming for her, and thus she feels like that she is working with them, but those two things are not necessarily coexistent.
She might have said, okay, yeah. So Scott says she might have said JL and Kyle. That's very possible. Sheldon was the name I was less sure about because it was very hard to hear. So it might have been JL and Kyle, might have been Sheldon and Kyle. They actually sound pretty similar when you say them like that. So like I said, I'll confirm for you guys tomorrow. I didn't have a lot of time to analyze the audio in preparation for this podcast. But I just was so shocked by this comment from Angie that I had to say. That's according to Angie, that's a thing. And Chris also feels like that's his main thing, right? Chris feels like Chris. This is his, and he wants to bring Kyle in actually, because he needs numbers. But again, we don't really know where Chris stands on this, because now it's been revealed that, Vanessa only pretends to not be with Kyle. And I don't know how that impacts Chris and how he sees Vanessa. For all we know, he could be like, maybe I don't want to be there. I did see him talking with Sue earlier today, a little more honestly than he has been in the past. So maybe he's going to drift over to Sue again, for all we know. So we also have Carol, Maddie, Ree, and Vanessa, which Carol is trying to make this the pretty boys, but with girls. Again, I think this is also a little bit in the air here. I think that Maddie and Ree, who already were skeptical about working with Vanessa after the big blow up, again, we don't know for sure because we haven't seen the fallout, but I have to imagine that they're way more skeptical about Vanessa after the house meeting and much less likely to jump into an alliance with her. But I do think they feel okay with Carol. They do seem to kind of want to work with her. I imagine that if they do come together, they'll just end up ditching Vanessa as part of it, and it'll be Carol, Maddie, and Ree. So that's those are the main groups that we have here. Vague outlines of groups.
Yeah. I just feel like the groups are like so nebulous, like they're going to change tomorrow. None of them are real. Really, that's yeah. That's how I feel. At least it's just like I feel like it's like who knows who's going to be working with who tomorrow, just even tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It's very fair, and for all we know, they're not working together now.
yeah, even right now.
But it's hard to know because we haven't seen much feeds. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. There we go. Let's move over to the Stockwatch. Let's start rating these players, and we'll try to be as quick as we can through some of these.
We gotta go quick, or else we'll be here till midnight, or for me midnight. And I'm in LA, and it'll be you guys, it'll be like 4 a.m.
I get enough nonsense. Let's start here with Sheldon, who has our HOH. Definitely a lot to talk about with Sheldon, though. Weird place here. Last week, we talked about Sheldon. We were thinking he's got promise, but he's not playing hard enough. He won HOH. He started playing hard, and that has benefited his game. His position has improved in ways, but it has also revealed to us his major flaws that we didn't see as well last week as we do now. While he has improved his position somewhat, he has also His position has diminished somewhat because of his loss of Jamar, that Hira is not like super on board with what he's doing this week. And so he's kind of losing allies left and right. His main ally is Kyle. His main two allies other than Brooke are Kyle and Vanessa. Vanessa's such a wild card that she's just completely going to blow him up at some point. And Kyle, while rational and I guess easy to work with for Sheldon, is still not like a loyal ally. He's just a predictable ally, and Kyle would absolutely stab him in the back if he needed to. And that's not the greatest ally to have in the world, even if he is a bit predictable. So very strange place to be here with Sheldon. Brent, what do you think?
Even more of a strange place to be, mainly because I think there's the real possibility that his HOH is nullified and neither one of these people goes home, that Minley might actually stay in the house and Ree actually might stay in the house. It was my contention that Sheldon made a mistake from the beginning of this HOH. He should have got Ree out of the house. I was absolutely all over Twitter when this was happening after Maddie won the veto and they were going through, you know, possibilities about what they want to do. I heard your discussion with Jessica where you're talking about the possibilities of, you know, possibly burning a bridge with somebody and making them mad at you by putting up a pawn in Angie or Carol and instead you're going after Min Lee. But I thought that somebody like Min Lee, even though she causes a lot of chaos and she has sewered your name a little bit, she also is a massive target for other people and she's always going to be in front of you. Like, always. She's always going to be in front of you. The other thing is that you have to consider your position in the game. And I felt like that you need to be cognizant of the fact, as Taryn noted on Sunday, that by leading Ree in the game, she is a fantastic little player. She really is good at this game. And by leaving her in the game with Maddie and JL, who is, you're branching out a little bit and not being so cloistered with the three of them, you're really leaving a power trio in the game to dictate the terms of what's going to happen next. I really feel like they could pick and choose who they want to side with. I don't feel like anybody's coming for them and everybody wants to work with them. So by leaving her in the game, that was a massive mistake. Add to that the fact that he is losing or has lost. It's not even present tense. It's past tense. He's lost Jamar, who was like literally a number one ally, even if he didn't view him that way. And there are people who are coming for Sheldon, and even though he may not be at the top of the list of anybody specifically, I have to think he has, like, if you're looking at last week to this week, and I gave him a 6 last week, I feel like he's gone down a little bit this week, so I'm going to give him a 5.
Yeah,
so I'm same here. For a while.
There you go. I'm seeing people ask in the chat, who should he have put up? I've expressed this before. I feel Carol. Like Carol was the move. The problem is, and he just said this today, he has this weird faith in Carol, that he really feels like he's got Carol. He's like, she respects me so much. Like, do not worry, Brooke. Carol is completely on board with us. And Carol is not completely on board with you. And she would have been the perfect pawn this week. I don't know why he trusts her so much. I don't know why he trusts Vanessa so much.
I don't mean to belabor the point because I know we want to move quickly, but God damn it. He was so worried that if he put Carol up that she might actually go home and that Ree may not even go home in the first place. But I'm like, who cares if Carol goes home? Who cares?
It doesn't affect you.
Put up two people that you're totally fine with them leaving and just let the house vote.
All right. Yeah. So fives from both of you. I'm with you. I have him at a 5. I think he's in one of the best spots in the house. I think he's one of the safest people in the house from eviction next week. I can't think of anybody that wants to put him on the block, except for maybe Angie, as far as I know. But that said, I just feel like his trajectory in the game, like if Vanessa was loyal, and if Carol wasn't trying to do things on the side, I would say he's in a pretty killer position. He's got a lot of flaws, but he's in a pretty killer position. The problem is that Vanessa is a wild card and Carol isn't working with him and is trying to work against him to some degree. And that's a major issue. And until that issue is either solved or just kind of goes away, it's going to be hard to credit Sheldon too much for a position of being relatively safe, because I don't know how that lasts. It feels short term to me right now. And that's an issue for Sheldon after seeing the flaws that he has in his game when it comes to the emotional side of things. So it's a 5 from me. And then the audience, who was the highest on Sheldon last week, continues to be the highest on Sheldon this week. They gave him a six over the five that we gave him. So it's still going to average out there to a five. Let's talk about Rianne, who is on the block. On the block. Last week, we overall gave her a five, that she was pretty average. She's sitting there, has potential, but, you know, nothing crazy. I think that in some ways her position has improved, but in also some other ways, she is on the block.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be ignored. is the vote likely to flip? I don't think so. Is the vote likely to even happen? I don't know. But she's still on the block. It's still a chance. And so that was something to consider for me, at least. Melissa, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. It's like I definitely feel more confident about her game ability this week. However, you know, she is on the block. And you're right. We can't just forget about that. Even though she's probably not going home this week, there's always a chance. You never know what's going to happen. But I do feel more confident with her. So I was at a four last week, so I'm going to go up to a five.
Yeah, that's basically the same way with me. I feel like I know she's on the block, but I feel more confident with her. And I feel like I have to give her credit for that. So even though it's a little bit crazy that I am rating her higher than Sheldon, I gave her a five last week. I'm going to give her a six this week.
I did, you know, when I thought of Rhi, I was like, her position, it's got to be a six now, right? I still don't have a lot of faith in her strategic ability, but her social ability is great and her position is great. And then I was like, oh, but she's also on the block. I need to remember that. And something that I'm trying to remember to consider is that with Jamar gone, as I said, I do think that these evictors, their position is a little bit worse than it was prior to Jamar leaving. Jamar was a huge shield, essentially, in front of them, this big distraction from the evictors. And with Jamar gone, I could very easily see somebody, a lot of the people who Sheldon is working with, going after Rianne or Maddie in order to try and weaken this group. Even, you know, I think some of them would also go after JL. Like, I think Chris now would probably go after JL. So I think that these evictors, they're not quite in the killer position they were prior to Jamar leaving. Jamar was actually in a really good piece for them on the board. They kept them safe. And now that he's gone, that safety has eroded a bit. So for me, it's still a five as of right now. And the audience agrees that she has also gotten a five from the audience. And that means that she will stay at a five. So let's talk about Maddie, who was the other person on the block, but won the veto with the help of JL, and is now safe. Again, with the evictors, I think in a similar spot to Rianne, a little bit less threatening. I think a little bit less likely to be targeted. But like I said, in a similar position, Brent, what do you think?
Wow, I gave her a three last week. She's definitely not a three this week. It's basically a question of whether or not I'm going to give her a four or a five. And unlike last week, I do not do my ratings ahead of time this week. I am more inclined to think that if people do come for the evictors, that they will go for Maddie. However, there are some people in the house, namely Sheldon and Brooke, who are more concerned about Rianne. And so if they do go for them, maybe they will go for Rianne. Maybe Maddie would be more safe. Maybe they would go for JL. Maybe Maddie is actually number three out of three of the people in that trio. So I'm more inclined to give her a five in this case, and I'm going to stick with that. I like what I've seen from Maddie over the past 7 to 10 days. She's gone from somebody who was cloistered in that bedroom with Michael and company and the evictors, to somebody who has branched out, who is amiable and personable, and somebody who gets along with her house guests. And you know what? I'll just be real about it. She's also somebody who I'm kind of rooting for. I can't believe I'm actually rooting for Maddie, but I'm definitely with Ligori on this one. Like, I love like a robbed goddess, you know, somebody who was like, you know, underestimated and then, you know, like comes back like a phoenix from the fire. And I know JL basically won her the veto, but who cares about that? That's details. Who cares about that? So I'm really excited to see what she does, and I'm going to give her a five.
All right. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, this one's a tough one. I feel like I feel better about her this week than I did last week. And I feel like she's making more connections. And, you know, I just, even though she was on the block, I felt like she handled herself well. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel more neutral about her now than I did last week. So yeah, I'm going to give her a 5.
There you go. I'm with you. Last week I gave her a 4. This week I do think that her position has improved. I think that when you look at these evictors, that they could all be targets as early as next week or a couple of weeks from now. But the one that goes home matters, the person that wins the HOH matters when it comes to which one of them goes home.
Yes.
So Sheldon and Brooke want Regan. I think Kyle would probably want either Maddie or JL. JL's been working on him, but he might think that JL's more threatening, and Kyle's also been working on Maddie. And then, you know, you have Chris, who probably want JL. So I do think there are some people that might go after Maddie, or if the veto is won, that's, you know, that's bad for Maddie. And I think that people like JL and Rianne, while more likely to be targeted, are also a little bit more likely to win the game overall and have more respect as players. So I think that kind of balances it out a little bit here.
Yep.
At least a little bit. And so for me, it's a 5 for Maddie. And the audience agrees. 5 from the audience as well.
By the way, DDD Trump in the chat says, aren't 5s just for fancy Fencertons? And I agree with you, DDD, that I don't much like giving out 5s. I really don't. But it makes a big difference in the stock price, you know, when you go from like a 3 to a 5 or a 4 to a 5. So I have to, you know, I have to give them a fair rating. Also, I really do feel that a lot of the house guests are very middle of the road. A lot of them have potential, but a lot of them are in a bit of a holding pattern right now. And there's nothing I can do other than give them, you know, 4s, 5s, and 6s. The problem, with the exception of, you know, idiots like Kyle, the exception is that once people start playing better, I'll have a sense of where the house is going. But right now, especially with the ejection of Jamar, everything is so up in the air that I have no idea what could happen. Yeah. Anything could happen.
I said this last week. The more uncertainty there is, the more things should gravitate toward the middle, because that's where things are the most unstable, and they could break any which way. And I felt like leading into the Jamar removal that the evictors were kind of surpassing that middle point and in a pretty good spot. But with Jamar gone, I feel like it balanced out back toward that middle spot. So that's where we are there. So let's talk about the final evictor here, John Luke. Let's see if we have any different thoughts on John Luke, who I feel like is the biggest person hit from the Jamar removal, because he was the person who was doing the best recovery. And I felt like was definitely getting into a good position. Kyle, who had previously been very gung-ho about targeting JL, had shifted his target over to Jamar. And part of the reason he wasn't going after JL anymore was because part of the reason he was making good with JL was because, like, I have to deal with Jamar first, and so I'll try to make peace with JL for now so I can feel comfortable going after Jamar. But now that Jamar is gone, I really don't know who Kyle is going to target. I think it has to be either Maddie or JL at this point. And with Kyle probably comes a few other people. And I think that's not good for JL. I was really feeling his position here, but now I can actually see a scenario where he goes home next week. And really before Jamar left, I really couldn't see that. It's a tricky spot. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to give JL a 5. Keep it consistent for the evictors, I guess.
Yeah.
I actually gave him a 3 last week. I am going to bump him up to a 4 this week, but I'm not going to go any higher than that. I really do buy Terrence's contention that by Jamar being ejected from the house, that really does hurt JL. JL's also a big guy. He's got muscle. Pretty boy. I have a little bit of a crush on him. I love the way he talks. He's just so like, dude, but he really does talk like that. Like, he's not faking. Like, I love Cena Nitz on Twitter. Like told us, like, people in, like, wherever he's from in Canada actually do talk like that, which is crazy to me.
Let's grab some orange pop and hang out, bro.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. I love it. So cute. But yeah, no, it's a 4. I do feel like he could go home as early as next week. Like, Kyle could win HOH and I could totally see him saying, you know what, JL, I want you out. I could see Chris winning HOH back to back and saying, you know what, JL, I want you out. Like, so yeah, there's at least 2 people that I know definitely would probably go after JL, or at least have him on their radar.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks too, because I was really digging it. I was ready to come into this roundtable like, guys, JL, he's in the best spot in the house, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. this did not work out for him, and it seems like the audience felt similarly. They gave him a 6 here, which is, it was barely a 6. It barely reached that. Now what I did today for the survey is that I put it out in the morning like I usually do, and then when the feeds came back and we found out that Jamar had been removed from the house, I actually allowed people to edit their responses with the knowledge of Jamar's eviction. And so that didn't change a whole lot, I think, based on what I had seen before. But I think that as people started to realize that John Luke was maybe not in as good a position, I think the editing dropped it down a little bit, but not enough to drop him down to a 5 from the audience. So it's going to be a 6 from the audience, but overall a 5. So far, straight 5s from us here, which, you know,
Sorry, guys.
I've been trying to make it so that we average out to 5, because that's where we want to be, right? I didn't anticipate that it would just be straight 5s to make that happen.
Yeah. But not everybody's going to have the great thing about the way that they do the algorithm now and the stock prices is that even though all these house guests are getting similar ratings, they're not all going to have similar prices because of the fact that their price this week is based on their rating from last week compared to this week. And you get a score and a price.
It remembers. The formula remembers.
Exactly.
Just like the North. So we've got Min up next. Min. Oof. Min.
You know, I was going to give her the paddle. Doom, I see ya. But no, because I do think that the eviction is going to be canceled this week. I see no way that they're going to lose Minley and Jamar in the same freaking, you know, 72-hour period. There's just no way that it can happen. I'm confident in that. On the other hand, I was confident they weren't going to kick out Jamar and see how that happened. So I'm going to leave a little bit of possibility, but I could be wrong. But I'm going to give her a 2. Because she is in dire straits. If this eviction goes forward, she is out the door. I am praying that the fact that Jamar is out of the house now, and it happened relatively late in the week, means they're going to cancel this HOH. And I see some of you in the chat that are like, just because Jamar did something means that Sheldon gets his HOH taken away. You know what? There's precedent for it. It's happened before in Big Brother where people's HOHs have been taken away and they close that HOH and move on to the next week when someone is out of the house. So, yep, I am fully prepared for this to happen, but I'm going to give her a 2.
All right. Yeah, I would have given her a 2. Like, I would be giving her a 2 right now if I thought the eviction was definitely happening. So because I feel like there's a chance it might not happen, I'm actually going to give her a 3. Okay. I feel like, because I feel like if this eviction doesn't happen, I don't know if she's going home anytime soon. I feel like
she's Min though.
Right. Like she'll still mess up her own spot, but now she knows she can't trust Vanessa and that's huge for her. And I think that, if she survives this week, there are more pressing targets in the house. In fact, if she survives this week, that would be great for the evictors because it would another person in front of them.
Yep.
But if she survives, I do think she has a chance to continue to survive a couple more weeks. She's not somebody that a lot of people want to waste an HOH week on. It was just kind of a little bit of a fluke that Sheldon is the exact kind of person who would take out Min in this spot, and all of these things came together to make it happen where the veto was won in a certain way and Vanessa, you know, was running around in a certain way. And so I feel like she might be able to hang on here for a while if the eviction is canceled. If not, I don't have much hope for her. So it's an odd 3 for me here this week.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a 2 because, there's a possibility she goes home this week. There's also a possibility that the eviction is canceled. She doesn't go home. However, I'm even if she stays, I mean, just the way that this week was handled, I don't think that she did a good job. I mean, the house meeting was not a good idea. When she's talking to Brooke in the bathroom about like, what's going on and, you know, if she trusts her and blah, blah, blah. And Brooke's just like, If someone's just agreeing with you by just going, that means they're not with you. That means they don't agree with you. Like, unless they start adding in their own stuff, Like, they're not with you. So, I mean, like, for future house guests, know that, because that always happens. If they're not adding in and they're not joining in the conversation with you, you're talking to a wall. You're talking to someone who doesn't want to listen to you. And also, you know, I just want to point out that at this house meeting, first of all, Min handled herself really well. She didn't do a good job at actually taking the target off her back, but people were like openly laughing in her face and interrupting her and all this stuff. It was, I mean, if I was in Min's position, I would not have been able to keep my cool. I would have been so frustrated with everyone, and I probably would have gotten angry, whatever. But I just think she did a really good job.
She was composed.
Yeah, she was so composed in face of some really just terrible behavior, at least in my view. So,
I agree with that she was composed during the house meeting, but like, her strategy was so bad.
No, the strategy didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. Like, there was no, the strategy, not there.
But just
like,
FYI. Yeah. I'm sorry. But it's been so frustrating to watch Min Lee all because, you know, I my casino closed a day or two ago, but I was working up until then, and I missed some of the feeds where, you know, like, some of the stuff was happening, but then I went back and watched it, and watching Min Lee continually protect Vanessa when she knows that Vanessa is the cause of all of this. She has so much faith in Vanessa. And of course, I know she knows that now, but watching her finally get to that point was like, like, it took you that long to finally throw Vanessa under the bus when you wouldn't do it, when you would do it for anybody else. But for some reason, Vanessa had this hold on you. So frustrating.
Yeah. Tammy asks, but who is going to work with Min after this week? And that's actually exactly my point, that she doesn't have anybody in the house now, and that makes her less threatening. And I think that that will make her more likely to be overlooked in future weeks if she stays. The audience agreed with me on this one. They gave her a 3. I gave her a 3 this week, so that she's going to land there at a 3 overall. And, you know, won't we look like fools if me and the audience, if the eviction goes through. Next up,
you can buy her if you want.
Let's talk about Kyle. Kyle, who last week we gave overall a 3. Where do we stand on Kyle now, Melissa?
I don't even want to talk about Kyle. I don't know. I just feel like, sorry, briefly,
because I know that a lot of people were messaging me on Twitter about this, that like, all right, this was the week that I did have some emotional ratings, Taryn. And I do understand
that's
that.
That's how I feel right
now. I do understand that. But us on the panel, we have to be objective. People are playing a game and they rely on us to be objective. So we are going to remain objective, as objective as we can, in trying to rate Kyle.
Yeah, I do think that, like, I do feel like he's been exposed, and that, like, he has got, you know, he's involved in all this drama and whatever and all that, but it does still seem like people don't want to get rid of him. It seems like they still want to work with him, for whatever crazy reason. You know, and even Vanessa has now like hitched her wagon to him by outwardly saying so at the house meeting. And saying like, yep, I'm with Kyle now. I'm with Kyle. Yep, I'm with him. It's like, so the whole thing was just a nightmare. So I feel very negatively towards Kyle right now, if I'm being totally honest, but I will try and be positive in my rating. And the fact that he seems to be invincible makes me want to give him at least one better than I did last week. And last week I gave him a 3, so I'll give him a 4.
There you go. Yeah, it's a tricky one here for Kyle. I gave him a 4 last week. I felt like his position was not quite as dire as some other people were saying at the time. And I feel like that's probably still the case, especially, again, with Jamar leaving. That's one major obstacle to Kyle's game coming out of the way. And that means that you have Hira, who is still targeting Kyle. And you have Carol, who's maybe still targeting Kyle. Apart from that, maybe Angie. I'm hard pressed to find a lot of other options. JL, Maddie, and Ree have all said that their priority is Chris over Kyle. And so if that's the case, I mean, Kyle will still be in danger. he will probably still be on the block. But if they are wanting Chris gone more than Kyle, and you have the likes of Sheldon, who is also trying to protect Kyle over Chris, then Chris probably goes. And that's good for Kyle. That said, he's still in a spot where he might go on the block. He could very well be in danger. And there are some people who are coming after him in particular. And so I can't give him a 5 like some of the others. So for me, it's also a 4 this week. So Brent, what do you think?
Yeah, I gave him a 2 last week, and I think he's done marginally better this week. So I'm going to give him a 3 for some of the reasons that you guys stated, but also the fact that his number one enemy in Jamar is out of the house. Also the fact that even when I see people coming for him, Taryn, I'm not even sure that they have the votes to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Like I could see Kyle going on the block and Sheldon and company working the votes in such a way where Kyle actually stays. So I'm not even sure that there's a way to get him out of the house right now. That said, you know, of the people who are remaining in the house, there are definitely a few people who are coming after him who don't like him. And he is obviously a massive backdoor target. Anytime two people are placed on the block and the veto gets used, his name is going to go through your head. It just is. So I can't give him any higher than a 3.
There you go. The audience agrees with you on this one, Brent. They gave him a 3 out of 10 this week. So he's going to land there overall at a 4. So let's talk about Angie. Let's talk about Angie. I gave Angie a 4. Last week. And I gotta say, I'm still not super down on Angie. I feel like this cast is really wide open. There are definitely a lot of people who don't respect Angie right now, but there's so much game to be played for me to be like that down on Angie. And I don't feel like there's really anyone in this house that I can say with certainty can't win a jury vote. Even Angie, who I think is probably in the worst position to win a jury vote. I feel like there's so much game to be played, and she knows the show, and she is in some alliances that I do feel like I'm not quite as down. I'm going to stay at a 4 for me. I don't think she's going anywhere anytime yeah. soon. And that's a long time to change her station in the game. I mean, and so it's a 4.
Like, is she eventually able to accumulate the credibility and the agency in order to win the game? I don't know if that's possible. I just don't. I gave her a 2 last week. I'm going to up my rating to a 3 this week. So I'll give her some improvement. She's not like totally invisible, and she does seem to have some interest in actually playing the game. There are other people who have like more interest in playing the game now. Maybe it just takes people like Angie and Carol a week or two to get, you know, acclimated to things and actually get into it here. So from a 2 to a 3 is not too bad.
Yeah, that's same for me. I gave her a 2 last week, 3 this week.
There you go. The audience, wow, that was a close one. The audience went with a 4. Just barely a 4. So there you go. It's a 4 overall for Angie. Let's move on to Carol. Carol, who last week was at a 2, remembering that she nearly quit the game last week. Mm-hmm. Things have changed for Carol. She definitely has a newfound energy for the game. She got a letter from her wife saying, stay in the game. She is now way more involved in the strategy. She is in a couple of different alliances, working her way through. I think she has a similar issue to Angie in that she is not as respected in the house, although I think she is more likely than Angie to be able to win respect by the end of the game if she makes it there, especially with the maneuverings that she's making right now. And for some reason, people like Sheldon just trust her for when they shouldn't. So Carol's a tough one. Brent, how do you feel about Carol?
Similar to Angie, I also gave her a 2 last week, and similar to Angie, I'm going to bump her up 1 point this week. I'm going to give her a 3. I do question the idea that someone like this can actually win a jury vote at the end. She wanted to quit the game, and even if she gets to, like, say, Final 5, Final 4, they're going to get rid of her. They're never going to let somebody like this get to the end unless they view her as a total goat, in which case she's not going to win anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying,
to me, a 3 is generous.
Same as Brent. I gave her a 2 last week, gave her a 3 this week.
All right. Well, it looks like our ratings for Carol are identical with our ratings for Angie, because I gave her a 4 and the audience gave her a 4. So she's going to land there at a 4. Let's talk about Hera. Let's talk about Hera. Oh, man. I was so excited to rate Hera this week, because at first I was like, oh, Sheldon won. This is great for Hera. And then Sheldon was like, oh no, Hera's got to go. And I was like, no, this is terrible for Hera. And then it was like, uh-oh, no, Jamar has to go. Hera's the one that we want. And I was like, oh, this is great for Hera. And then it was like, Jamar's now gone. And I was like, oh no, back to bad for Hera. It's been an up and down week here for Hera. And I wish I could be more positive about it. But Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I just feel like similar to everybody else that I've been rating, I gave Hera a 4 last week and I'm going to give him a 5 this week. I feel like he's in a better position, or at least I have more faith in his ability this week. But with Jamar gone, it really affects things, because I do feel like it was beneficial for Hera to have Jamar in the house. And now that Jamar's gone, that's not good for Hera. So, so that's why I'm just going to go with the 5. He's in the middle for me. It could go either way for him moving forward.
Yeah. I gave him a 3 last week. I'm not going to raise this score this week. To me, he is totally expendable to a majority of the house. Like, there is nobody who is really close to Hera. And also the fact that Jamar has gone home and now moves him right up on the list. He could go home as soon as next week. He really could. And I don't think anybody would bat an eye. In fact, he would be a definite pawn that somebody could put up there if they were looking for a target. Specifically, they'd stick Hero. I want to say there was a character on He-Man that was named Hero. And then sometimes when I say Hera, I say Hero. But like Hera, I love the fact that he is so passionate about the game. But goddamn, he irritates the living fuck out of Sheldon sometimes with his ideas and what he wants to do. And he's not willing to take no for an answer. So goddamn it, I can't raise the score. It's going to be a 3.
All right. I gave Hera a 5 last week. I almost want to go up. I wish I could go up on Hera. I just can't.
How
I just
can can't. You?
I have to give him a 5. I have to give him a 5. I do feel like he's like just a little bit improved from last week. But it's not enough to launch him up to a 6, I think. So, it's a 5 from me. And, the audience who last week gave him a 5 this week also gave him a 5. And so that makes his final score a 4. Probably. I'm gonna say it's 4, and then I'll correct myself if I'm wrong. No, it's a 5. It's 5. There you go. I'm good at math, I promise. So next up is Sue. Let's talk about Sue. Sue's another interesting one. I feel like I was much higher on Sue's game last week than I am this week. I still feel like she's got good instincts. She's got a great social game. I feel like strategically she can do well. She was one of my highest ratings last week. I gave her a 7. I gave Jamar a 7. I don't know if I can justify that anymore. Brant, what do you think?
I mean, she was also my highest rated house guest last week, and I do feel like I have to bump her down a peg here. She was a 7 last week. I'm going to give her a 6 this week. I still feel like she's playing head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of a social game. People love her. I don't see anybody who's targeting her. They might be a little irritated with her at times. They might say her name, but there's nobody who's actually coming for Sue. Okay. She also had a little something with Jamar, and I don't know what that was, but it's now gone because he's gone. And maybe that will help her in the end, but I have to think short term, it's going to hurt her. The fact that, you know, somebody like that who really trusted Sue is now out of the house. Also, there are alliances that are happening around her that she is not part of, even though she thinks 6 feet under is the place to be. It's really not. So how can you say that she's improved since last week? So I feel like you have to go down to a 6.
Yeah. Melissa?
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said, although I still feel the best about her game in the house right now. So I'm going to give her a 6, even though that's not... I gave her a 6 last week. I'm just going to keep it at a 6 now because I do still feel the best about her game versus everybody else.
Yeah, I feel weird giving her what will probably be the best score in the house, because I don't feel like she's in the best position in the house, but I do feel like I have the most confidence in her as a player.
That's the key.
Yes.
That's the key. Because she has the strategic acumen and the emotional ability to be able to be a complete Big Brother player. Whereas
and
I feel like
social ability.
There are shortcomings with other people that hold them back.
Yeah,
I think her problem right now is that she's loyal to the wrong people, and she people do see how social she is, and they do see her as a bit threatening, and they some of them don't trust her because of it. She's not really anybody's number one, and I think that's a really tough place to be. So I think I'm still like maybe a little too high on Sue when I give her a six here, but I do feel like because everyone else is in also a bad position, that if things shake up, then I feel like she's one of the people that could come out on top if that happens. So it's a six for me and from the audience as well. So straight six is there for Sue. Let's talk Chris. Let's talk Chris, our brain transformation specialist. Last week, we gave him straight fours. This week, he's still... You know, I think he's improved, but he's still in a great spot. There are still people coming for him because of the movie made last week and how he made it. And even though, like, there are some people still, like, kind of socializing with him, he's still not very respected. Like, even his closest allies are like, yeah, let's use the bull. We keep him here to be used. So it's a weird one. Do I go with a five for Chris? That's the question. I think that for me, I can't give him a five. I can't give him a five. He's not in as good a spot as John-Luke or Sheldon. I think he's almost there. I think John-Luke is a more capable player, but they're in similar spots where they could go home next week. And so because I don't think he's as a capable player, for Chris, I'm going to go with four again. And we'll see if he improves, if he continues to be in an okay spot, then maybe he'll go up. But for now, I've got to stick with the four. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually feel better about him this week. I know he's not in a great position, but I do feel better about him because I do feel like there are people who are wanting to work with him or at least wanting to use him. Whereas before they were like, I didn't feel like anyone was being real with him when he was HOH. I feel like everybody was just like saying they wanted to work with him and then mocking him behind his back. Now they're mocking him still a little, but they're also like wanting to use him or work with him for real, not just like a fake deal because he's in power. So I do feel better about him than I did last week. However, I'm not so sure about the strategy behind it. So we'll just have to see. And there are still people targeting him, but that's why I went four last week. Now I'm going to go five.
I gave him a four last week, and I do feel relatively good about Chris's game, but it's not something where I'm like blown away by it. It's just, he stopped the free fall for me. Like, I don't feel as bad last week as I felt about his game. Like, to me, he got like a 4- last week. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost gave him a 3, whereas now I feel like it's not a 4, it's a 4+. I feel relatively good about Chris's game, but I do feel like there are shortcomings. The fact that he's ultimately clueless, the fact that he's not really in the majority of any one alliance. Nobody considers him a number one. People are using him. They don't respect him. I don't know if he could get to the end of the game, and I don't know if he could win a jury vote even if he got there. So besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? So I gave him a four. Again,
yeah, it almost feels to me like he only doesn't seem bad right now because nobody else is really in a killer spot.
Yeah.
And I feel like if somebody takes control of the game, then that's when he tanks. But the audience agrees with you and I here, Brent. The audience gave Chris a four. All right. Let's talk about Brooke, who's another tricky one. Brooke is, for me, the only other person I considered giving a six in the Stockwatch here, because her position is somewhat similar to Sheldon's in the sense that not a lot of people coming for her right now. But she could very easily be used as a pawn. I like her social game when I see it, but like it doesn't seem to ever work with people. Like,
again, I said that last week.
Everyone hates her.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why, personally. Even the audience hates her. And I can sort of understand why. But I feel like her hate is a little bit disproportionate to, like, her actual actions in the house, which have kind of coincided with how the audience feels, other than the fact that she's obviously, like, in love with Sheldon. There's something about her that rubs people the wrong way, and it's really bad for her. I think that she's going to have trouble winning a jury vote. And I think she recognizes that, but I don't know how she changes changes it. And like, she's in the house saying like, I came in here. I said I wasn't going to play with the Alpha Bros, but here I am playing with the Alpha Bros. And it's right. like, yes, but how do you change that narrative? And she's talking about like, well, I know that Sheldon can beat me in the end. Sheldon's the best player in this house. I'll need to, you know, do something about that eventually. But like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see her path right now. And where does she take out Sheldon when Sheldon is closer to everybody else than she is? And she can't get to those people. And Sheldon of all people is closer to those people than she is.
Right.
So, for me, it's a five. It's a five for Brooke. I think it could go up. Maybe when she's not spending all of her time in the HOH room with Sheldon, that she'll have a chance to go up. Yeah. But for now, it's a five for me.
This must be such a weird experience for Brooke, because Brooke is like us. She's a super fan of Big Brother. And you know, you're a fan of Big Brother, you picture how it's going to go when you go into the house. You have a plan. You have a sense of things. You know what to expect. You know what they're going to do. You know how things are going to go. But then, like, she must feel like she is just, like, literally hanging on to the back of the car as it's going around the curb. And she's trying to, you know, not fall off, because she's in with all these Alpha Bros. It's not what she anticipated. She's trying to figure out a way out of it. She knows that Sheldon could beat her, although that's a long way away. But, you know, the journey of her game is being written right now, and she doesn't know how to change it. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that Jamar was ejected from the game and everything is up in the air could actually work to her benefit somewhat if the board gets reset and maybe she ends up in a more dominant position than she otherwise would be right now. I actually feel like it would be not a bad plan for somebody like, Brooke and Sheldon and, you know, Kyle to come together with, you know, the evictors that are left over and make a run at it. But who knows where she's ultimately going to land. I gave her a four last week. I know that she hasn't done a lot this week, but I still feel like she is better than last week, in that even though she is used as a pawn possibly by other people, I do feel like that at the end of the day, her allies would protect her at this point in the game. So it's a marginal five for me, for Brooke.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. She's the same here. Everything you guys said, she's a five for me.
Yes. And just very, very quickly, also, like, she keeps talking about how her gut instinct when she walked into the house was Rhea is going to be the person to take me out of this game. And now Rhea is staying in the game, very likely. When people have these feelings, in my opinion, these are not premonitions. In my opinion, they have these feelings and then they make them happen. Like Tommy feeling like Cliff was going to be his downfall in the game. It happened, right? I feel like it's going to happen. I feel like Rhea is going to take out Brooke at some point. I feel like that's just going to be how it works. But the audience is with us on Brooke. It's going to be straight fives for Brooke all the way down. So finally, let's talk about Vanessa. Vanessa, who got the paddle from Brent last week. And it was in a tricky spot here. So Brent, you still have the paddle ready?
This is just so infuriating for me, because I don't know what to do with this person. I'm asking, okay, this is the question I'm asking myself. I gave them a one last week. I know what she did last week. Has she improved in any way this week to better her game or put herself in a more advantageous position than she otherwise was before? I have to say that the answer to that is no. Again, I cannot give her any credit for any of the luck that has come her way, in that some people are either too stupid or too unwilling to face the fact that she is an absolute wild card who does not have their best interests. She doesn't have any plan. She doesn't know what she's doing. And ultimately, she's been exposed. I actually think that her now, I don't know, it's her number one enemy, but one of her enemies in Min Lee, who called her out during the house meeting, I think she's going to stay in the house this week. And if she stays in the house this week, I feel like she could definitely come.
I forgot about that. That is very bad for Vanessa if that happens.
So I don't see how I can give her a better score this week. I know some people didn't really agree with the paddle last week, but I'm going to give her the paddle again.
The paddle is back.
It's a one.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything that you guys, or Brent, just said. I mean, that was my thought, was if Min Lee stays in the house, she loses that person that was at one point an ally, or at least like even if Vanessa didn't think so, Min Lee thought so. And, you know, Tammy in the chat said it, that she has less allies this like today than she did 2 days ago. So, you know, and the fact that that house meeting did not go well for her, she like firmly solidified that she's with Kyle, even if maybe that's not true. And she's
and showed herself to be so untrustworthy, too.
Right, like, she did.
Yeah. Like Kyle said, like, I could lie about stuff.
This is what I've been
like
doing
that.
This whole time. Yes, I did lie. Yeah, this is what I've been doing. It's like, so now everyone knows not to trust you. So it was all just bad. So I'm going to give Vanessa a 2.
All right. I believe I gave Vanessa a 3 last time. I got to stick with that one, to be honest. I still feel like she's in a really bad spot. I mean, this is going to be tie for the lowest score in the house right now with Min Lee, who's likely going home this week. And that's because she has put herself in a bad spot. But with the house being as fluid as it is, and with her luck stat being maxed out, and the fact that she somehow manages to just get through all the time, I do feel like she's just like, is she going to go home anytime soon? I don't think so. I don't think anybody's targeting her anytime soon. And if you are one of those people, I am going to, in the early portion of the game, be just a little bit higher on you, just because there's so much game left to be played. You could always pull a, you know, it happens. Not really. But Jessica happened once, right? And then it went back. It went away, but it happened. And like, what if she had continued? You know, so you never know. Sarah Hanlon happened once, so you never know. So, you know, that's where I'm at. This is a 3 for Vanessa. And the audience agrees with me. They gave her 3. So, I think that's going to land her at a 2 overall, which is probably where she was last time. It's not there anymore. All right. So.
I think she was a 3 last time.
Was she?
Was she 3 last time? Okay.
So she's lost money. Fallen. I think that's fair. I didn't drop her, but I think it's fair. All right. So there you go. That is the Stockwatch. Now, obviously, there's a player missing. That's because the player was recently removed from the game. That is Jamar. Now, typically how this works for the Stockwatch is that if somebody is out of the game, all of their shares are worthless. You cannot sell them, and you lose all of the money that you put into them. However, this is a game. It's meant to be fun. And I think that an argument can be made that Jamar's removal from the game is outside of the game a little bit. Instead of just completely invalidating all of the Jamar shares, what we are doing is we are going to refund you any Jamar shares that you purchased at a considerably lower rate. You're still going to lose a lot of money on your Jamar shares, but you're not going to lose all of your money. I don't want you to be completely out.
And you're going to be able to sell them.
Right. You have already automatically been refunded these shares. Right. Jamar is no longer on the market. You still have lost a considerable chunk, but you are not completely out of it with this. And this is going to be what we do moving forward with any potential removals. You know, this hasn't happened since like what, Willie Hance. So it wasn't really something that we were anticipating. But when I was trying to figure out like what to do with this, I wanted to do something that was that we could be consistent with, regardless of the circumstances, if somebody is removed from the house like that. I believe you will have lost something around 66% of your investment in Jamar, but you still are alive and kicking in the game, and you can continue to play.
Taryn, I love that. That is like that is Washington's best bailout ever, and I'm living for it.
The safeguards are in place for the market. When it drops too hard, it closes.
The circuit breakers.
Too
circuit
real,
breakers
guys.
Hit,
right? Too real.
This is like very reflective of real life right now.
Yeah. So that's what's happening with Jamar. He will not receive a rating this week, and probably will be one of the highest rated evictees ever. He was my highest rated person last week.
Yeah.
So
he had high rating.
Yeah. So that's what we have there. All right. So let's quickly run through some of these other questions on the survey here. Here we go. We've got a leaderboard ready. I wasn't sure how quick it would be ready,
ooh,
but we've got it ready.
So excited.
On the site, realitystockwatch.com. That's where you can sign up. You can still sign up if you haven't. You can still sign up. You can still play. You'll have more money than people who've interested in Jamar. So it's, you have not missed out on a ton. You can go there. You can play the game. You can have some fun here. So I'm going to bring up the leaderboard right here. All right. And so there's a leaderboard on the website. Just like that.
Just looked at the leader.
Of course she knew there was a leaderboard. She was like, Mel, in the chat, like, by the way, there's a leaderboard. I don't know if you guys had seen it. Or
Mel,
like,
who is on the update this morning, in the lead right now.
Yeah, she's in the chat saying, oh, would you look at that?
Tied for the lead. Tied for the lead. Let's be clear here. Her and 14 other people who did very similar things. Not 14 other people. Her and 6 other people. Who went in on John Luke and Carol, and then people who just went in on John Luke, hey, there's me, 15. I went in on Carol there, and so everybody who went in on Carol is going to be there in the next few batches of people. So let's find,
where the hell am I?
There's a search function.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let's search for Brent. Brent. Like, Wagamat.
I bought Sue.
Yes.
And Walsh. Oh, I don't have an LFC by my name. That's why I can't find it. Yeah. So fix that. I want my bling.
Okay. Okay. We'll make sure the bling comes up.
I'm in 298th place.
Yes, 298.
But I did earn money. Like,
yes.
I earned $2. I think. Like, I think that portfolio is counting the $20 that
I
get this week.
Yeah, I think
so. So I earned $2. The reason I bought Sue was, honestly, I felt like she was a good buy because I felt like there was a good chance based on last week. Because last week, I think it was like 6677, and that's how she got a 7. So it was by the skin of her teeth. And I was like, but then I looked at the projections, which you can look at the projections on this site, which I absolutely love. And I thank you guys, whoever designed this, like, God bless you. I'm like having so much fun with it. But you could look at the projections for Sue. And I saw that even if Sue dropped a point, that she would basically be at the same price that she was before. She would actually earn like a nickel. So I wouldn't lose any money, and I didn't see her dropping any more than a point. And I also thought, if she actually does stay at $7, then she will earn $2, and that will be a monster buy for me.
Yeah.
So I thought she was actually good, but then look what happened. She made, a couple things outside of her control. Again, if Jamar doesn't go home this week, I think I give Sue a better score. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't meant to be.
Well, I mean, you were right. She did not drop further than 1 point. Yeah. So you didn't lose anything. And in 298th, not anything to be too ashamed of. There are close to like 1,500 people playing this game. So,
all right.
Not bad.
We can just move on. We can just move on.
All right.
We can just move on. You know, nobody needs to really see what's going on here.
Melissa Denny, 1,006th rank here.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You broke into the thousands.
Look, I'm just going to say, yeah, honestly, like, I just wanted to maintain my record of being terrible at this. So that's really what I was doing. But also, you know, as an excuse for myself, I didn't get to see the projections or anything because I was late and submitted late. So, you know, I didn't get to really experience the stock watch. I kind of just like threw these. And I wanted to back up my Vanessa theory. So I was like, you know what? We're going to see next week when she gets a great rating and I'm going to do really well.
I mean, if she stays in the game, she'll eventually get a better score from me and that'll bump up her score. I love the fact that you bought Rianne and she, I don't know, did she go up?
She stayed the same.
Well, she got a better score than I did. I gave her a better score. So
I'm doing real well here.
Yeah. Well,
I have to like uphold my reputation for the Stockwatch. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Okay. I gave Rihanna a 5 last week. I thought I gave Rihanna a 4 last week, but I gave her a 5 last week. So me giving her a 5 or a 6 this week really didn't change anything.
Yeah. So there you go. So yes, I believe, like I said, it was close to 1500. Yeah, here we go. 1487 players total. On Theory? The wow. leaderboard.
That's a lot, especially for Big Brother Canada.
Right.
That's a
hopefully,
lot.
Hopefully the site functions from Big Brother US.
Oh my God, yeah.
So I have some stats that Sheldon was the most purchased player. This is going by dollar amounts spent on the player, not the amount of shares. So this is more accurate to, like, in terms of, you know, proportionally. Accounting for the price, how much did people invest? Sheldon was the person most invested in, followed by Brooke and then Jamar. So there are a lot of people who went in there on Jamar, then Sue, and then Hira. So those were the top five by a decent margin. The rest were much less. So there you go.
Excellent. I love that site. It is so fun. And Melissa, definitely, like, look at the site and, like, play with the projections. You'll have so much fun. Like, it's really, yeah, it's a total blast.
I looked at the site. It just wouldn't let me, like, input my choices. Cause I thought we had, you know, how last year we would have, like, up until the episode, like right before the episode to submit. That's what I thought it was.
Well, for Big Brother USA, we have right until the episode. For Big Brother Canada, you always had to do it before like 4 o'clock because they tape, remember?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So and, what, what is the rule here? Like, when do we have to submit by?
I think it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah. So the market is now open. You can make your purchases. The market will close at 4 PM Eastern on Thursday. We do that because they tape the show, and the taped show ends around 5 o'clock, and so we want to make sure that we get everything in before spoilers could possibly be released. Now, there's no audience, so the chance of spoilers are considerably lower, but
there are spoilers out there. Right. There were spoilers last time.
The knowledge exists somewhere, and we'd rather be safe and just cut it off at 4 p.m. And yes, please do not wait until the last minute to submit your buys, if possible. Just be safe and get them in ahead of time. You can double check them at around 4 p.m. But try not to all cram the system at once and try to get your picks in. Just be safe. Just be safe with your picks. So that's what's going on with the Stockwatch. Let's run through some of these bonus questions. There weren't really many unique ones to this week. How would you rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada? 5.18 this week, down from last week. I believe it was a 7. Nope, it was a 6.49. I was definitely right, but wrong. How would you rate the feeds? 5.5, down from a 7.76. So people not pleased. I think this rating would have been a lot higher prior to the Jamar removal. And then how would you rate the season so far? Definitely a big hit, down from a 7.5 to a 5.5. People not fans of the Jamar removal. I asked you to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Last week, Sheldon was on top, followed by Jamar. This week, can you guess? It's Jamar. Jamar's
Jamar
on top.
I was just saying Jamar, yeah. Jamar. Sorry, the way you said it, I was like
waiting
maybe?
For like a setup. Like, yeah. I was like, I don't want to say anything.
Do you see who's at the bottom of who's our favorite player?
Who's at the bottom?
Yeah.
Last week, it was Kyle. This week, it's Kyle.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Groundbreaking.
Just wanted to hear that.
Yeah. Notably, Brooke was in fourth place last week. She's in second place this week. Sheldon has fallen from first to third. Sue was down in fifth. She is now fourth. And Hira is fifth. He was previously sixth. Min Lee was third last week. And this week she has fallen all the way down to seventh. I imagine that's largely due to the controversy that she has been a part of. Right. Jean-Luc also has risen quite considerably. He was fourth from last week. And this week he is sixth.
Yay, so, I'm glad. Yeah, yeah. People are feeling my Jean-Luc love. By the way, Doom in the chat, Taryn wants to know, can we sell this stock for toilet paper? Apparently, Doom is having a problem. He wants to know if the stock is sellable for toilet paper.
What is this toilet paper?
Why is everybody buying
toilet paper?
Can I just tell you, though? Listen, I just want to tell you, as an aside. Like, my mom calls me, like, right before I go into work on Friday, and she's like, Brent, she's like, can you, like, because my mom doesn't know how to order online. So she's like, can I order on, like, because I have Amazon Prime, right? She's like, we went to the store. We went to buy some toilet paper because we needed toilet paper because we were out, and it's all gone. We went to 4 different stores and it's all gone. So I'm like, yes, mom, I can order it. So then I go online. It's not going to be here for like 3 weeks. Like, and then like later on, I went back and tried to buy the same thing, and whatever I was going to buy that was going to be here in 3 weeks, like, literally disappeared. Like, there was nothing available on Amazon whatsoever. So everybody's buying everything, apparently.
Of all things to be out of in this crisis, it's toilet paper.
I don't get it.
It's off topic.
I thought there was, like, you could use toilet paper for something else, but it doesn't make sense. But anyway, moving on.
All right. I asked, how do you feel about having no live audience for the evictions? 15% of people said they did not like having no audience. 66% of people said, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me. And 17% of people said, I prefer it. I prefer no audience. So most people just don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. Strategically, I asked, who is the best person for Sheldon to have targeted this week for his game? 40% of people said Rianne was the right move. I agree with that personally. Notably, though, in second place with almost 20%, people said Vanessa. Vanessa would have been a good target for Sheldon. I disagree with that. I do think that he's right to worry that she will just completely blow up his game and his secret alliance with Kyle. I do think Vanessa needs to be dealt with, but I don't think Sheldon can be the one to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I dozed out for a second.
And then Minli was third, 15%. Only 15% of people agree with the move this week to target Min.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I still think he made a horrible mistake. I know you guys said it was close on Sunday. I do not feel it was as close. I feel like he can see what's in front of him. He knows he needs to get Rhi out of the house. He knew he should have gotten Rhi out of the house on Friday and Saturday, and for some reason he just decided to forget about it and move on to a new plan when the threat of Rhi is still there, and that three-person alliance is still there. They are real, and they will have power.
All right. So I asked, how do you feel about the veto competition being played in pairs? It's a bit of a twist there. People didn't love it. On a scale of love it to hate it, they were, or hate it to love it, they were pretty like halfway between hate it and eh. Like a 35 out of 100.
I didn't mind it. I was okay with it. Like, it didn't change.
I feel like I want to see it.
Yeah.
Before I judge it, but I mean,
I didn't love the fact that I heard. Yeah, I didn't love the fact that I heard that JL was like basically won it for Maddie. Like, I thought it was more. I thought it was supposed to be more of a team thing. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then finally, who do you want to be evicted this week? Usually, these are pretty lopsided. This one was a little less lopsided. Only 64%, the majority, they said Rianne. People, 64% would prefer Rianne is evicted. 35% prefer Minli.
Yeah, Minley's a handful. And as you said and noted on the podcast, she hasn't been exactly innocent on the show, but she is good TV and she is a total whirlwind. And, you know, she had Jamar's back, whatever she said about him. She still had his back. So I would hate to see Minli go.
Yeah, I would hate to see her go. She's so entertaining and she makes things interesting. I find that she's a very fascinating character and I'd like to see more of her. So I really hope she stays.
All right. So that's what we have for you today. It's a 3-hour podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Look, you know, I think people need content right now. There's not a lot to do. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this long round table, this week. There's, like I said, lots of fun to be had on the, realitystockwatch.com. You can still sign up. You can still get in the game right now. I will be streaming about it on Thursday on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I go through the various picks and projections, so you can check that out as well. I will be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today and happened today on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. And of course, Thursday nights, We will be live to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 8. Also Thursday night, after the eviction recap for Big Brother Canada 8, I will be speaking with Derek Levasseur about Survivor Winners at War.
Excellent.
So check that out. Just stick around after the Big Brother Canada recap. We'll talk Survivor.
Excellent. Well, you can always find me at One Lucky Gay. By the way, we just released our RuPaul's Drag Race episode 3 recap with me and Aman and Liana Boris. And for those of you who listened to the podcast last week, we had a really interesting discussion that went on for about the first 30, 35 minutes of the podcast this week, where we got to talk a lot about perspective and intent and privilege and the world and the future of the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. So I really encourage you guys to listen to that if you listened to the podcast last week, because I felt like we got a lot of real talk between me and Aman and Liana, and you never know what other people are thinking until you ask them. So it's always great to listen to what other people have to say and listen to their perspective, because you never know exactly how people feel about your intent and how you present yourself to other people.
There you go. Melissa.
Just everybody be safe out there. Practice social distancing. I'm serious. Like, stay inside if you can. This is like, it's super important that we flatten the curve. And I know some people, you know, aren't necessarily taking it seriously, but I just have to implore you, like, please take it seriously. Look into it. COVID-19 is serious. And if it might not impact you because maybe you're young, but that will impact someone else. You could be a carrier. Think about your grandparents. Think about your parents. Think about everybody else. Think about the vulnerable people. Don't just think about yourself. So please just, you know,
FYI, like I have a friend of mine who's a primary care doctor. You know, my partner is a physician, and we have a friend of mine who is from high school is a primary care doctor, and she is taking care of her neighbor who is a COVID patient. He is 42 years old, never had a health problem in his life. He is on his 11th day with the coronavirus, and he still has trouble breathing to the point where it hurts. And there's also a guy that I retweeted. He's 45 years old, otherwise healthy. He's a type 1 diabetic, but otherwise healthy, totally as a horse, does not take any other meds. Great guy, got the COVID virus and almost felt like he was dying and went to the hospital, and they gave him some stuff. And then, of course, he felt worse because they gave him Motrin in the inhalers, which, you know, of course, make you feel worse if you actually have the coronavirus. And it was startling to me looking at how sick these people were, and they were younger than me. And I know that you guys look at me and you think, oh, Brent's like young guy, youngish guy, whatever. But like, these guys were younger than me, and they were probably closer to death than they are life. So, yeah, take it serious.
Yeah, and you can infect others even without showing symptoms before you show symptoms. So, as Melissa said, be safe out there, keep others safe, just listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job. I don't mind the fact that the podcast went for like 3 hours this time, because I need content. I'll go back and listen to this myself.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. As we said, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Terran. You can find Brent at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 of those A's. And so for Brent and Melissa, I am Terran Armstrong. Thank you. And we'll see you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.